Good evening, everyone. I'm your host, Jason Miles, and welcome to another episode of This is Revolution Podcast. If you are a returning listener or subscriber, glad to have you back. Excited to have you here. If you're new, I'm going to check out what we do here on This is Revolution. Welcome. So glad to have you here with us as well. If you do like what you end up seeing here, or get to call in and voice your opinion, make sure you leave a like. And if you really dig it, leave a subscribe. That passive gesture goes a long way. Before we start, I want to send a massive congratulations to our brother, David Griscom, on his wedding to Annie. David, still kind of bummed. I'm very bummed I wasn't able to share in the joy of you and Annie's wedding day. I know Ben was there representing as best he could for us. There was a few TIR members that could not make it. So shout out, huge shout out to David and Annie on their wedding. The pictures I saw looked real fun. So make sure you guys send Griscom a fat shout out on all the social media. I am here alone today. That's why people go, why'd you guys start on time? Ha 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 ha. Because it's just me. That's why. I didn't have island Negroes holding me down. That's what it is. I'm going to blame their islandness on it. Transgender custody case. Oof. Oof, 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 oof. What did I step into this time? Now, I want to start off the show with a bit of a content warning, something I don't normally do because these are adult shows and we should be able to have adult conversations. And if one is offended, you can apologize, actually learn something, grow a little more, and move on as better people. But tonight's a bit different. I want to address some things before we get the show underway. The topic tonight will mention transgender youth, gay erasure, domestic violence. Now, some of this is ignored to make innocent people pawns to political propaganda. I'm doing this content warning because in this online media landscape, certain shows can be a kind of Rorschach test for the viewer. No matter what I say, unless it's dressed in your preferred rhetoric, then I can become an enemy. You'll see what you want to see. I'm doing this show alone with no other members of TIR on here with me. They didn't really have a say in this one. So if you're mad at someone, then you're mad at me. Not Pascal, not Gene, not Kuba, not Empty, not Varn. I'll bear the responsibility of angry viewers. I wanted to do this show because this particular story is already being twisted and used to score political points and actually shift the paradigm when it comes to LGBTQIA rights. That will be the abbreviation I'm using. If there are more letters to it, I just don't know. Sorry. I'll be using that one. You've heard me say this before, if you're a frequent viewer of the show, the right is winning the hearts and minds of an older majority voting base. The younger generation seems to be not as enthusiastic about this election because there's no Bernie hope versus Trump's authoritarian fascism bait. This case to me is a great way to understand a changing political landscape, even in a state that is a bit more progressive like California. The gender and children issue is helping grow the ranks of the right. Lastly, this show tonight isn't about what I believe, it's about what you have to say. I want to hear your thoughts on this issue. So, as you can see on the screen, the phone lines are up. There is no MT to help me screen calls, so I'm just going to take them as they come. I just ask that you please be brief, as this calls per second. It really does. And we're trying to do this again in a week when Conan comes back and we do another music show. So let's get down to business. This case caught my attention, but because when I'm driving back and forth through the Bay Area, I always get stuck in the same right-wing radio nightmare. I think it's usually where I stop for gas around there. It's so dominated by conservative or Christian conservative radio. One of the sentiments that are having some success is the idea that the state is trying to make your kid trans. On its head, it sounds ridiculous, but some laws will make you scratch your head. And in this case, To many, depending on what framing you hear first, would make anyone sympathetic to this father who is accusing the state of kidnapping his child on the grounds that he doesn't believe his five-year-old son should transition to a girl at this very young age. It sounds like a bit of an insane case. I'm a parent of a five-year-old. He wants to be a dinosaur. He quizzes me incessantly on my dinosaur knowledge, which is poor, to say the least. And then does his various dinosaur growls and forces me to identify which species he is. My 25-year-old daughter is still trying to navigate the looming adult life. Post her upcoming college graduation. Now, you can say that a 25-year-old questioning what to do with a career and a 5-year-old would rather be a dinosaur over a boy aren't the same. But my point is, as parents, our kids are constantly trying to figure out who they are. I wore my grandmother's heels as a 5-year-old because I wanted to walk into a room and be as regal as I thought she was. Here's a picture I'm going to share with you. Bam! Does anyone know who this is on the screen? No? No? That is maybe the greatest president in the 20th century, Franklin Delano Roosevelt, as a toddler wearing a dress. In pre-World War II America, before gender marketing was a thing, in post-World War II production, it was a sign of status for boys to wear dresses up until the age of 7. Now, back to the topic at hand. Adam Vina has been making the rounds as a poster boy for LGBTQIA rights overreach when it comes to transgender youth. His son, now daughter, is only 5 years old, and a court has ruled that he cannot have contact with his child. Vina says that's because his beliefs on children choosing their gender go against the child's mother and the state. He feels he's being punished. Maybe you've seen his social media posts or seen some of his YouTube interviews. A small man in stature who sounds very hurt. Well, who wouldn't be if they lost contact with their child? But Vina's issues with his ex didn't start with dresses and gender. Their bitter years-long custody battle starts with alleged spousal abuse, a charge that Vina vehemently denies. Now, let me prepare a clip. It's harder to do without being able to yell at Toussaint for not being entertaining. I have to yell at myself for trying to find the clip and be entertaining at the same time, which is harder than you think because my computer's slow and then I have to set it up and it's on the wrong YouTube account like it is right now, then there's ads that play. So there's just a lot going on. Like, if you guys could see the slow nature of this computer and what I've been dealing with, you would have some sort of sympathy for me. And it only happens in situations like this where I have no support, is when the computer decides to go, no, we're just not working today. Like, I think it's trying to unionize with the other computer in the other room. It's just not going to happen. I'm going to Bezos the shit out of these computers. Just work, goddammit. Give me a second. It's deciding that it wants to take its sweet time. Technology. And you know what sucks? I couldn't set both of those things up. I couldn't have multiple screens. If I could, I would. Trust me. Maybe there's another way I could have done it. That's my bad. But here we go. Let's watch this clip. So you guys can understand this man in this very baggy suit.
At 4 years old, they treated him as full transgender. I received an email, an anonymous email from my son's mother, telling the school that Aiden is now full transgender at 4 years old.
Good morning, everybody. Billboard Chris here. It's Sunday morning. I'm here in Phoenix, Arizona at AmFest, and I thought I'd have some conversations this morning. And I'd been outside for 30 seconds when I ran into Adam Vina. Adam is dealing with a very serious situation where his son has been taken away from him because the mother of your five-year-old child,
yes, sir,
wants to transition him.
Yes, sir.
Maybe just tell us what's been going on with your son. He's 5 years old.
He's 5 years old now.
Yep.
Now that I know, it's grooming started at the age of two. I received when he was two, I received a text message, a picture text message from my son's mother of him in a pink dress. I spoke out against that, and I thought everything had stopped. My son's third birthday, my son told me that his mom bought him a pink dress. And I got down on one knee, and I looked him in the eye and said, "Hey, buddy, you're a boy. Boys don't wear dresses." And we left it just as that. A couple days went by. I was really, really angry with it. So I sent out 46 text messages to her. No threats of violence. Never has there been any threats of violence to her or my son. And in those 46 text messages, she was able to get a temporary restraining order put on me, which kept me from my son. Fast forward to the court system. From Pasadena, California, Judge Harvey Silberman, he ordered a gender assessment to be done on my son.
At what age?
I think Aiden was between like three and a half, four at the time. He was 4 years old to have a gender assessment done on him. I spoke out against that in court, but they still went along with it. I requested to sit down, wanted to be personally there, physically there, to find out what questions they were going to ask my son, because in my opinion, when it comes to treating somebody for any type of disease, there's always steps in place. And in my son's case, it went from A to Z. They never treated it A, B, C, and D. They went, "Oh, you want to wear dresses?" Never asking why he wants that, nothing like that. They automatically assumed he wanted to be a girl at 4 years old.
Because his mom put him in a dress at what age?
She started at 2 years old.
So he's still in diapers.
Yeah, pretty much. He's still in diapers.
And the judge now just treats him as though he's a girl.
Yes, they refer to my son in court as my daughter. They refer to my son as she, her pronouns. And at 4 years old, they treated him as full transgender. I received an email, an anonymous email from my son's mother, telling the school that Aiden is now full transgender at 4 years old. They denied me.
Were those their words, full transgender?
Yes, sir.
Full, there's a part transgender or something?
Yeah. So I was denied to ask my own questions. I went as far as hiring my own child therapist to sit in on this assessment. They denied me that. They denied me that. And they also denied me a phone call to ask my own questions with the doctor. Not at one time have they ever sat me down, the father, to ask me what I think is going on with my son. The whole system has been stacked against me.
Yes, as it often is against men generally. So you received a restraining order. The first one was for how long?
The first one was a TRO, which is a temporary restraining order, for 3 years. Again, I'll tell your viewers and everybody, never has there ever been any physical violence towards her, never any physical violence towards my son. The only way that a parent or parents can be removed from a child's life is if there's abuse and neglect. And not at one time has there ever been any abuse or neglect either on my son or on her.
Right.
Because I emphasize that so much because people would think, oh, there had to have been a bad reason for this father to be removed from his son's life. But in fact, there's been none of that. It's just been text messages saying, "My son is a boy. Do not dress him as a girl."
So you had a temporary restraining order. Mm-hmm. Now what's the deal with the restraining order?
Now we went, the first judge recused himself from the case. Me and my attorney do not know why the California judge from Pasadena recused himself. From my understanding is that that's very rare for a judge to be so invested into a case and then just one day completely recuse himself. So we're down at Los Angeles with a judge from the Los Angeles Family Court, Mark Duhas, and he is the one that ordered the 5-year restraining order. So that puts me, that'll put me at 8 years completely disconnected from my son, and not being able to raise him as a boy, not be able to treat him as a man. I have missed going on now 4 Christmases. I still have Christmas gifts sitting at my house. One of my first videos on my Instagram was unwrapping his Christmas gifts from 3 years ago. Opposing counsel has done, which was court appointed, has done nothing to re-engage the father and the son in this. We went 6 months in negotiation applications for to get my visitations back, and to get an email from the attorney saying I kept emailing, all right, give me this, give me that. What do I need to do to get back in my son's life? And only to receive an email, sorry, Adam, but we dropped the ball.
Yeah, they don't care because you have the wrong political opinions.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Adam Vina. Follow this guy on Instagram, adam.vina.
All right, that's enough for the ads. If you're not following TIR on Instagram, I don't give a fuck about Adam Vina, right? Fuck about that guy. Seriously, we need to get serious here. There's a few things that I'm sure you guys are saying sound fishy. Some people that are familiar with TROs, one person in the chat said, if you know the abbreviation TRO, then you are not in a good place in life. He's not being completely honest, but I play that clip because it's important to understand that clip, because that clip has a lot to do with the framing of the case. The only way you're going to understand about this case is through the framing of my kid is transgender. And this case starts before dresses. And I think it's very important to note that. There's also been some interesting comments in this chat by the one and only Kushluk that called in the other day and said, it doesn't really matter if a little boy wears a dress. Like I said, I wore my grandma's shoes. Right? I'm sure there's a lot of young men on here. I'm sure there's a lot of young women that wore their dad's stuff as little kids because it was cute and funny. I was talking with a friend the other day, and she said when she was young, like a toddler, she wanted to marry her brother because she loved her brother so much, right? So I will read you an excerpt of the article because I want there to be some context to this. Carbone, that's the wife or the ex-wife, a 39-year-old in-home care provider, filed her first request for a domestic violence restraining order against Vina in June 2020. The request made no mention of their then nearly two-year-old's gender, which wasn't a point of contention. It included 5 pages of abuse allegations going back to when Carbone was pregnant. She accused Vina in the request of constantly berating her, sending incessant texts and making harassing calls, physically threatening her and throwing furniture off her porch. This is important because you heard the man say in the clip, I texted her 69 times or 49 times. That's frightening. If I don't answer the first time or the 10th time, the 15th time, I'm probably not answering. And it's not like you followed that up with, I was very worried, so I called the authorities to see if there was an accident. I didn't know what happened. No. You know, someone doesn't want to answer your call because you're probably going to yell at them. And there's a way that I think we view abuse in this country. Sometimes there's a lot of rhetoric that wants to help victims. But the average person on the street usually listens to a person that's in or hears about someone in an abusive situation, and they say things that are really dismissive, like, well, why don't you just leave? I mean, leaving is very hard for a bevy of reasons. Generally, economically, it's really hard to leave. Number two, you could just be scared. You don't have to hit anyone to be intimidating. And that's very important because I will read on. Adam regularly uses, this is a quote from the ex-wife. Adam regularly uses physical intimidation to scare me, lunging with hands fisted, screaming in my face while I cower in the corner, punching the car dashboard or house walls and pinning me up against the car or a wall, Carbone wrote. That's scary. And you don't have to physically hit anybody, but when you're always losing your shit, It's not fun to be around. And there's a kid involved? Like, ugh. Carbone also detailed her own arrest in April 2020 after Vina called the police amid a fight involving Carbone's mother. Carbone said she had asked Vina to leave the family home after he, quote, callously threw a water balloon at her older special needs son, and that Vina had erupted in anger. She wrote that Vina started screaming at her and her mother, calling her names and lunging at her. She wrote that she hit him once in the back of the head with an open hand in self-defense before Vina pinned me up against the wall. When police arrived, Carbone said she admitted to hitting Vina, while Vina denied being aggressive. The officers arrested her, though no charges were filed. From then on, Vina's harassment and abuse only escalated, she wrote in her request. At this point, she wrote, my mental health is on the line. There's people that exist in this world who are really chill in public, but you can see sometimes they seethe a little bit. When they get behind closed doors, they just explode. Usually on people they're more powerful than. You guys saw the video of that tiny man swimming in that suit, so you know. Probably was a nightmare. The restraining order was denied. The couple agreed to share custody and to communicate only through a court-sanctioned messaging platform called Our Family Wizard. That's going to be very important. Vina and his lawyer said that the denial of the order proved Carbone had no evidence to support her claims. Vina said it is normal for couples to get into heated arguments, but that he has never struck Carbone or their child and never would. Asked about other forms of physical abuse, she alleged he cited her arrest and said she was the aggressor. Yikes. With what you've heard so far, how do you guys feel about this case? I want to know. Call in. The number's on the board. Area code 510-319-1899. Area code 510-319-1899. Someone says, these are accusations you're reading, Jason. They are accusations I'm reading. I haven't read the court transcripts yet. Just hold your horses there, buddy. You think this is the accusation show? Interesting how defensive people get. Do you have independent sources? If you ask those questions, again, why do people get so defensive? I just want to know why people get so defensive when it comes to things like this. Area code 510-319-1899. Who's going to be the first person to call in? Are you guys all scared? If you can talk shit in the comment section and you can't call on the phone, really says a lot about the kind of person you are. If you're trying to follow, I linked the article in the description. This has been up for a couple days. I will read on. Some more from the LA Times article. Oh, looks like somebody wants to call in. Dun, 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 dun. Calling from a 510 area code. I love that area code. Caller, what is your name and where are you calling from?
How you doing, Jason? My name is Umberto, and I'm calling from the Bay Area. I'm calling from Oakland, and I've heard you say on your show multiple times that you know the area, that you're from Richmond.
I'm from Richmond.
So, yeah. In any case, I wanted to call because I saw the 510 number. I thought, wait a second, is he in PJ or is he in Richmond?
I'm in Mexico right now. I won't be in Richmond until this weekend. I'll have to go see some family, so I will be in the Bay Area this weekend.
Well, very good. Well, it's nice to meet you voice to voice, as it were. And I should add that I'm from Mexico myself. Maybe it's obvious, maybe it isn't. And Yeah, and it's very interesting for me to note that you're an expat and TJ, and I've listened to your show multiple times, so I know that part of the reason you're there is because it's cheaper.
Yes.
And yes. I find that interesting. Maybe you can do a show later on down the line to do with Americans, especially Black Americans, relocating to Mexico. That'd be a very interesting thing to hear about.
There's like four of us. It wouldn't be a very fun show.
Well, everything starts small. Isn't that the truth?
Yeah. I don't tell people they should live here.
I don't want to take a...
Go ahead.
No, you don't tell people that you live there because you want to be the only one. You want to be unique.
No. You can have more. I was with another Black person the other night. We were both being Black people in Mexico, having a great Black time.
Well, don't take this the wrong way. I know we live in sensitive times. I was in Mexico visiting family last year in July of last year. I took my son down there to see family. And, you know, and I don't get back often enough, but the thing that I miss when I'm in Mexico, I'm going to be serious here. I miss Black people. Very few Black people in the part of Mexico where I'm from. There's something missing.
Yeah. Yeah, I miss that too. And then I look in the mirror.
So anyway. Well, you have a convenience that I do not have.
There's a few of us here.
So anyway, let me not take up more of your time. Okay, I don't want to take too much your time for the show. I know you're doing a curious topic here on the transgender question, so I'm going to log off and continue.
Oh, okay, well, thank you for the call. I appreciate it. I am a Black person in Mexico, and maybe down the line, I will tell the story of the other Black guy and I in Mexico, the night of insanity that we had Sunday, but I won't because this is an important topic, and I want to stay on topic. There's another caller. Again, call in. I want to hear what you guys have to say. I'm going to continue to read from the article, from the court reports, but I want to hear what you guys have to say. Dun, 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 dun. Calling from a 773 area code. Caller, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, Jason, it's me, Spencer. Can you hear
God
me?
God dang it. The one, the only. Dun, 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 dun. What's up, Spencer? How are you?
Great, how are you? I just saw you were doing this topic. I was just getting ready to teach on gender and sexuality in the morning. So
that's yeah, this is this is going to be a good one, yeah.
And you're getting all defensive, saying I'm getting defensive.
Look, part of
the show was about.
Part of my job to get people to call is to instigate people to call. So apparently I did something right. Oh, there you go. This is a case about a man. I don't know if you've heard anything about this man named Adam Vina, who's been making the rounds in right-wing news, kind of their poster boy, if you will, for an overreach of transgender rights. He has been denied to see his child. He's on a 5-year probation. He can't see his child for 5 years. And he says it's because he disagrees
with
the court.
It's sort of the whole enchilada. It's like father's rights mixed in with the trans question.
A little. The trans question is, it does a lot of the heavy lifting for most people that want to get interested in this kind of stuff. And it's not the biggest issue because, as I read earlier, this man had violence issues, which were the issue. And the trans issue, I would say, if anything, set him off where he blew up in court.
What do you mean? He got violent in court?
Yep. Multiple occasions.
No, I mean, the reason why I asked you, you know, why are you reading these, like, why it seems like accusations is because obviously, I mean, I know as son of divorced parents, how much parents will lie.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that plays a role
when it
in
comes
this
to divorce proceedings. I wasn't trying to imply anything more than that, that, you know, that one or the other was the liar. It just seems like people get into some pretty nasty business with divorces.
I agree wholeheartedly.
Especially when their children are involved.
I agree wholeheartedly. And this is interesting to me for this reason, and I hope you appreciate this. The gender issue almost feels weaponized by both parents.
Mm-hmm.
You have a woman coming out of an abusive relationship that finally found the thing that made people listen to her. That's why I read those allegations. She does not get the restraining order. The judge goes, not enough. She sends, since you're on the phone, I'll tell everybody, maybe we'll get some more calls.
There's no possibility. Mm-hmm. There's no possibility that she's lying about his abuse.
You know, Spencer, if you lose your shit, this is my opinion. This is my opinion.
I don't know. I really don't know.
I don't know the man. I don't know the man personally, and I don't know the woman personally. But you know, I've been around people for a good share of my life, and I've worked in services for a good amount of time.
There are a lot of shitty men.
There's a lot of shitty men, mm-hmm. and there's a weird line.
No doubt.
Where. And I believe this guy when he says, I didn't hit her. Right? But
you may have more insight than I do. I'm not saying anything. I'm just.
Oh, yeah. No. I think this is important to understand everything. Right. And part of what happens is no one's listening to this woman when she's saying that when she says her husband or ex-husband is abusing her or had abused her. Right. And she gives her child address. The kid's about 2. And I think she sends a picture. She texts a picture to the husband of the kid in address. And the husband gets or the ex-husband, right, gets very upset. Mm-hmm. And when they go to court, because they're still battling over custody. When they go to court. Right. This dress is brought up, and that's when he loses his shit, and he starts yelling in the courtroom, yelling at her, yelling at the judge, yelling at her lawyer, to the point where the judge is like, if you're yelling in a court like this, this is the one place you're supposed to be cool, and you can't keep your cool in court, we're going to issue her one of these restraining orders that she's asking for. And as a matter of fact, the dad started kind of getting, I wouldn't say violent toward the kid, but it was upsetting the child because the child just wanted to wear these dresses and quote unquote girls' clothes, right? Still, I don't really know how big of a deal. The kid's like 3 at this point. 3 years old, right?
Mm-hmm.
And again, the mom has found the thing that finally makes people listen to her. And so eventually, the judge orders a sexual therapist to come in and talk to the kid to see if the child has gender. Is it called gender dysmorphia?
Yeah.
The therapist comes in, and every time they talk to the child about gender, child starts crying.
Huh.
And you know as well as I know, kids know when something is uncomfortable and when it makes parents mad and when it makes the whole situation explode. You know, I am not a perfect man. I have gotten into loud arguments with my mother of my children, and the kids start crying, and it should make you stop, right? Like, what am I doing? Not for everybody.
Yeah, that didn't make my parents stop.
But you know what I'm talking about. And
yeah, of course.
So the therapist goes,
What is the science of this? What is the science of this? I wonder what you think about how stable a child has a gender identity at that age.
They bring that up.
Like, I don't know. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
They bring that up in the article.
I think it's more common. Let's just put it neutrally. Like, parents are more open to their children, you know, having alternative gender identities nowadays, right?
Yes.
You could even say that it's cool.
Yes.
You know, but I wonder how much it really even matters for small children. If they wore a dress when they were 3 and 4 years old, what is that really going to matter for how, you know, because you don't really inhabit, you know, being masculine or feminine until you're much older.
Agreed. And most of the therapists that were interviewed said, well, usually a child would grow out of this around 6 or 7. Again, this case is interesting because, again, you have some two sides. So all of a sudden, the father now, who was representing himself.
So it's really a matter of when children start to internalize their peers' attitudes.
Mm-hmm.
That they start to really think about their own identity.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what the psychologists say?
Yes. And there's no puberty blockers or anything happening with this child. Everyone involved with the case is like, that kid is potentially years away if you even wanted to prescribe anything like that. And that's not even on the table right now.
Right. What's the earliest that they prescribe puberty blockers? Do you know about
that? I do not know.
Like 12, 13?
I do not know. I do not know.
Because for a boy, you wouldn't even be hitting puberty. I didn't hit puberty until I was 13, 14 years old.
Yeah, me too. So,
and that was early stages.
And we don't know, you know, where this is going to go. Because, again, we're talking about a kid that's kind of sort of a toddler, right? Like I started the show off talking about how, you know, my son, who is 5 right now, wants to be a dinosaur. So, you know.
My mom thought it was cute for me to take baths with girls.
Oh.
You know, when I was that age.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't really bother me.
Mm-hmm. Because you had no kind of concept of what was going on.
Right.
It wasn't sexual.
So this man is, you think this man is just, is sort of leveraging this anti-trans movement to get support for his case, basically. Is he raising money on this?
Well, he, like I said, he's become the poster boy. So Turning Points UFC have snatched him up, and some other like men's rights groups have attached themselves to this guy. So he went from having, you know, no social media profile, just a, you know, regular guy. I believe he's a 44-year-old sanitation worker. You know, nothing against sanitation workers. He's just a very regular man. And all of a sudden, he's speaking publicly at different Turning Points events and things like that. I started the show off with an interview from some sort of I don't know what you call it, right-wing fair or something that they were having. And they love this guy. They love this guy because I don't know if you've been following a case in California in a city called Chino Hills, but the school district was calling the parents if their kids were, you know, let's say your kid is Jonathan and goes to school and says, call me Joanna. They were calling the parents and saying, well, we just want you to know that Jonathan is coming to school as Joanna and dressing in women's clothes. But the school said we would never call the parents if we thought that it would harm the child to, quote unquote, out them. So if they believe that there would be abuse at the home, if the child was known to be dressing in the opposite gender, or if the child was thought to be heterosexual at home and then came to school and had homosexual relationships they wouldn't call home. But the fact that the school was even saying they were going to do it caused a huge ruckus with the parents, to the point where the California State Supreme Court, the Attorney General, had to get in and stop the schools from calling. There's a huge move, and Chino Hills is somewhat conservative area, kind of the outskirts of LA County. There is this idea that these are all left positions, and there's this idea that this is what happens when you get socialists in power, that they're going to quote unquote turn your kid gay. And so another thing that's happening that a lot of people don't like to talk about is crazy, right? That if there's something that you're trying to bring attention to, and you know, as you know, you're a long time leftist, there's not a lot of money on our side. And if anyone paid attention to this thing we call the Satanic Panic of the 80s, a lot of that starts with second wave feminists trying to get laws passed to protect women against violence. And they found that children worked. That was the one thing that lawmakers ended up kind of budging on. And so these women that were vehemently left wing found themselves in bed with a lot of right wingers. And you're seeing something somewhat similar happen with this, because you have this phenomenon. I don't want to say phenomenon, but because it is a little more acceptable than it was, I don't know, 10 years ago. The lawyer for this man is gay. And one of his stances is, I think there's nothing wrong with effeminate young men. And this push to make everybody the opposite gender is quote unquote gay erasure, is what he called it. So,
well, go ahead. I don't know how you pronounce the name. Mm-hmm. I see, let's call it Kushluk in the chat.
Uh-huh.
And he said, he says, well, you know, here I know more, you know, how do I know more than a professor?
Uh-huh.
I take that. I don't know anything as a professor on this subject. I've never studied it. So I don't want to take up too much of your time. I was just trying to get you to open up some of the political implications, I can understand. And I'll get off now. It's nice talking to you, and I'll listen.
Spencer,
maybe Kushluk will call in and inform us, since
he knows so much. Spencer, I hope you and the wife are doing well, and have a very good rest of your evening.
Take care, Jason.
Take care, Spencer. That was Spencer Leonard, a man that I've met in person that is also very tall. How do you guys feel about this case? Before I take the next call, please don't hang up, caller. I will read you about the dress. So we got the part where the husband says the domestic violence is all a concoction in the ex-wife's mind. About a year later, just after, we're going to call the child. They don't say the child's name in the article because it's a fucking child. A's third birthday, Vienna said A told him about owning a pink dress. Vienna said he knelt down, looked A in the eye, and said, boys don't wear dresses. Later, according to our family wizard messages reviewed by the Times, he confronted Carbone, asking her if it was true that A had a pink dress. Carbone wrote back, yes, it was. Less than half an hour later, she messaged Vienna again. I have 49 missed calls from you. Stop. Whatever you want to say can be in writing. Now, keep in mind, when you're on these court apps, you want everything through the app. Her whole point was that this guy is abusive and he's scary. He's trying to call. Of course he's trying to call. He wants to talk some sense into her. He responded, "No, you chickens." Shits. Vienna responded. He also left Carbone a screaming voicemail reviewed by the Times, calling her a stupid, ignorant fuck and a stupid fucking cunt. Again, the same man swimming in that suit you saw earlier loses his shit in private. Carbone messaged that he was harassing her and causing emotional harm to A, who was still using male pronouns, and her other child. "Gender does not matter. He is three and loves to dress up," Carbone wrote. "There is absolutely nothing wrong with that, and I will always encourage my children to be true to themselves." All right, I'm going to take a call on that note. Calling from a 408 area code. I know where that is. Caller, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Bay Planner, San Jose, California.
Yay! Hello.
Right on, Jason, man. You hit it out of the park with this topic, man. You dug into the nooks and crannies.
I canceled another show that we were supposed to do today that I was also very appropriate for the day. But I wanted to bring this up because I think there's a certain way that people interpret news when you get the gossip part of it. And I think most people that will argue this case on both sides of the more liberal side or even the right leaning side will stay in the trans issue. And I think this is way more about parents and, you know, even Spencer's talking about liberal law, you know, their interference in this as well. But what say you, brother? What say you?
I got so much to say, man. I mean, first is the context, you know, it's Southern California. It's a working class family.
Yeah.
I'm sure on a lot of economic struggle.
Yes.
I can see the shithead in the guy already. I mean, I grew up with so many guys like this. I can see the abuse. I can see the dynamics of that relationship. He was having, I can see it in the transcript. You read back. I can see the dynamics. I can see the attempts at control. You know, I can see her grasping at a way to, like, how do I say my kids? Well, especially one with special needs and one young and probably in an economic precarious situation. You know, we're not even, you know, scratching that part of the story. And, you know, you can see an attempt to, like, how do I use the system to save myself and my children?
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, protect myself from this guy who, at one moment, I need him, right? And I need the support he brings. I also want, and I could see in some sense, I want you to be in the kids and the children's life. You can at least see it. You know, I even in the transcript, you don't see an attempt to, like, you know, demonize the guy. It's just like, I want to get away from him. I'm scared of him. I'm terrified of him. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't see even in the, you know, in the court ordered text app, I don't see an attempt to needle this guy. You know, I just see this lady trying to support her kid, right? It's the little kid playing dress up, you know,
yeah.
At the same, you know, just trying to raise a kid in today's climate. I can see the stickiness of how this is just catching like wildfire on social media and how the right wing are just latching onto this as a cultural child. You know, this guy's this new MGTOW fucking hero for the right wingers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they can point to the, you know, the purple haired ex-wife, you know, ruining him. Some hard working Joe the plumber guy. Right. And it mixes all this issue. You know, I think that, and I think to your point, this kind of trans issue is kind of on the surface, and then really it's this family dynamic and issues about custody and issues about, you know, domestic violence and abuse and support, you know, that people really need. And where do they turn to when they need material support,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
And we're not set up for that. This is a cold, cold world. My Vietnamese barber told me on the east side, there ain't no love in America, you know?
It's, yeah, go ahead.
and it's, and you know, the, there's lots of facets, and you can kind of pull on all these different threads to rile up the public and it, you know, and make it a sensation. But at the core of it, it's a family that's getting ripped apart that I think needs deep counseling, you know, and healing. You know, that guy too. The guy swimming in a bad suit, you know. It's just horrific. It's horrific.
Yeah. It's an upsetting case. It's the kind of thing, you know, when I'm driving after I've gotten gas and I realize my phone's about to die, so I can't listen to music anymore. I'm in that no man's land where I'm outside of Bakersfield, not yet in Fresno. So it's just right wing radio until my phone is charged enough or until I'm angry.
And they have
enough.
Nothing to talk about. Yeah. And this is right for them.
Yeah. Yeah. They love this stuff. And parents love it too, because there's a feeling that they're losing their power as parents because the right wing narrative is so strong.
I'm sick of this self-righteous all for the children, mom's liberty shit floating around, man. Like, back to what I said, like, we don't care about these kids, you know, and it's just, you know, this kind of book burning and waving the, you know, I'm a good parent because I'm protecting the kids from the evil libs is corny. And I think on the other side, the libs play into it. And I don't know to what end. You know, I don't know what, you know.
Because
you know, to not have that judge say, hey, you guys need some deep counseling. And I'm at court appointed counseling for everyone to kind of get to the bottom of, you know, what, you know, rather than kind of, you know, I don't know, exacerbated. I don't know,
put
gasoline on it.
Yeah. No. To your point, the judge.
The structure set it up for that.
The judge, the first judge. So the man didn't lie when he says in that clip where he says the first judge recused himself, and there is no one knows why the judge recused himself. That document is sealed. You heard the man say, even his lawyer doesn't know why. If you try to want to read between the lines, to your point, I think you said it, or maybe someone in the chat just said it, that both parents again are using politics to their advantage.
Yeah.
And that's really what this is about. And if you get involved in this case on the trans issue, then you kind of miss the forest for the trees, because this ain't about that. That's just kind of this weird outcome of the whole thing where the man has gained some footing.
That's the tagline.
Yeah. That's the thing that makes you click on it. Because if you just said, you know, standard custody case of poor working class people and, you know, mild spousal abuse, nobody cares about that. They only care when the kid's dead.
That's
because the parents
TV Tuesday.
Yeah. But it happens every day. You know what I mean?
Shout out to Spencer. Thank you for calling. I want to tell him thank you for calling. You know, anytime the spirit moves in, tell him to jump on the line. Yeah, that was awesome. And, you know, that was a great exchange.
Well, you have to have respect for another person to have a good exchange. And I have a lot of respect for Spencer Leonard.
Oh, yeah. No, you can feel it. No, it's awesome. It's like being in class. So I'm going to get off, Jason. Awesome show. Fired up topic. Yeah, no, the guy's a shithead, but he needs help. We all do.
We all need some help. Hey, Bay Planner, shout out. Peace.
Peace, man. Safe trip.
So, again, thank you for everyone that's calling. I did not know what to expect on a regular show with a topic like this. I'm going to read a little bit more. You have to be a special kind of stupid to think that dressing a boy in girls' clothes is a smart idea, Vina wrote. You are a fucking retard. Vina's language and tone in private messages are different from the more contained anger and sadness he conveys in many of his online posts, but it is consistent with the way he has spoken to Carbone and her attorneys in other private messages, recordings of which have been included in court filings and reviewed by the Times. He's got away with words, Venus lawyer says. of such messages. It was rude, but considering what he was going through at the time, like I said, she's lucky. That's all he did. That's kind of a fucked up thing to say. Vina's lawyer says that Vina is a hothead with a severe learning disability who can't really control what he says sometimes, and he would admit as much. It's almost like Tourette's. When he's angry, he can't control the words out of his mouth, but it never led to physical violence. I find that interesting. You can't control what you say, but you can control your fists. Interesting. And bigger than that, who wants to be around some asshole that's always yelling? If I'm not hitting you, I'm just kind of berating you and like yelling all the time and hitting and throwing shit. That's tense. Right? That's really tense. It's uncomfortable. It's not a fun environment. So let's take some more of these calls. Calling from a 559 area code. I love these California calls today, by the way. I'm going back home, not for the greatest reasons, but I'm going back home, and I love seeing these California area codes. Calling from a 559 caller, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Jason, this is Eric. I'm calling from Minneapolis, but the phone is Fresno.
You still got your Fresno phone.
Still got the Fresno phone. You know, I've had it for so long. Mm-hmm. I'm past the point of no return.
Well,
you know, so
it's a good number. 559 is good. My cousin's in 559.
I like it. I appreciate that because you never know what kind of stuff that I, you know, security things you have. Let's say, you know, just kind of out there for passwords and stuff until you change phones. And I don't want to find that out.
Eric, how do you feel about this topic at hand?
Interesting. In fact, what's kind of funny is I agree. You picked a good one in the sense that there's a lot we could take out of this. And in fact, I kind of appreciate the show because it's, you know, I'm not high, but, you know, I'm able to just like, you know, there's a lot we can take from this and out of this. And not even being like, you know, totally, you know, way out there. But from like a lot of the comments, mm-hmm. and especially what's kind of, I think, being missed is, you know, something that should anger people more than it does, doesn't. But then you get the sensationalized thing and then that gets people to pay attention. But as usual, they cling on to the wrong thing. And now with kind of what seems to be going on apparently with, you know, men's rights things and then just, you know, trying to, you know, believe the woman. Well, now they're getting in their own camps, they're getting siloed. And I mean, the thing to me is like, can any of these people actually really heal? I mean, the guy's clearly a jerk, let's just say, or I mean, if we can be a little bit more candid, he's a total fuck. He gives all the signs of it. And you know, he's not doing anything to help himself. And he's like, but no, believe me. Well, buddy, you got to help me out. You're obviously aware of your issue, yet you do nothing to try to correct it, which, you know, it's something we can grab onto, but it's not. On the girl side, look, that's terrible. You feel that that's kind of the thing. You know, I got to show these people that this guy is a total jerk. She obviously succeeded because he continually does that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I got to take these people at their word. I have no dog in the fight, but then it's kind of interesting. Like you were pointing out, people get real defensive. And I think that kind of says a lot where people, while you identify with certain things, it's kind of like a book or a story, you know, like you see yourself in a character and say, you know, that reminds me of this particular thing that I do that this guy's getting shit on. I mean, it's like what you see with like with Trump, which is kind of funny. I've been around enough of them because then it's like, well, yeah, see that. And then you say to yourself, like, and then you tell them, well, be that as it may, because you can't deny the simple correlation. Be that as it may, you'd be under the prison right now if you did half the stuff, or that ain't you. I mean, again, you see the similarity, you can even identify and possibly sympathize to a certain degree, but buddy, that ain't you. That's a separate whole set of circumstances, individuals, And but see, what's being, I think, done now too, is you get the, whether it's media or, you know, peer pressure, mm-hmm. you get people saying, you got a point. You need to hang on to that point. People are going to tell you that you should get rid of it. And what's kind of funny is, see, in order to have gotten the attention she got, she had to do what she did. But see, what do you do with people that they have to do that? It's like, you know what? You're being abused. Ah, come on. You know, you don't mean anything. Mm-hmm. That's a tough pill to swallow. In fact, extend that to the guy. You know, God dang, I can't control my anger. I can't talk to anybody. And what do you do with that? Because then maybe the guy's getting mistreated at work. Maybe the guy's getting mistreated a lot and he's trying to make his way. I don't know. But then he's being told, let's say by some assholes, it's like, well, you're white. You have white privilege. Hmm. Oh, and you wonder why people end up saying, you know what? I get so much shit everywhere. I don't get shit over here. And I know these people are right-wing crazy assholes, but you know what? They don't give me shit. And it's as simple as that. You've seen it. You know, you've seen it when you've been out and about, and it's amazing. It's the same theme. And that's why, I mean, Lisa, I've been saying just, you know, hey, be that as it may. People, get that in your vocabulary if you want to, like, make a point. It's just because there's that simple correlation. You have to deal with that simple lived reality / correlation. Mm-hmm. Too many people don't. And that's where the divide begins, because then it's like, well, fuck you. My hurt is just as legitimate as your hurt, asshole. Go to hell. Go pee on sand. And I'm going to go find a clan, and they can, no pun intended.
Yeah.
And they're going to agree with me.
Yeah.
So to hell with you.
And that's what it seems like both parents did. They both kind of found who will support them. Again, it's an uncomfortable thing to kind of witness. And if you think there's, like, if you try to argue this case from just, again, the trans aspect of it and think it's like political, it's like, well, no, this is more mm-hmm. about just like regular people breaking up and the precarity of a shitty life. And then mm-hmm. this extra beautiful carrot got added onto it for the media, and everyone's running with it. This was a front page story this morning in the LA Times.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Under the fold, but still front page. Yeah.
Still, and that's amazing. And then, I mean, it's, you wonder, the hope that you'd have, you know, that you would want to have, is that they don't get so caught up in the hullabaloo, in the hoopla, that they start drinking the Kool-Aid. And now, I mean, like, they're gone. You know, mm-hmm. it starts out, but isn't that how it starts out?
Yeah.
You know, hey, I'm just trying to solve an issue. And this is the only tool that I feel I have at my disposal to do it. And, but what happens, I mean, is, you know, because, it's uncomfortable to watch, I think, because we know how that can end. And more often than not, it ends with, well, you've seen them rallies.
it could end badly. And this is an interesting case. This is an interesting case of, and this is just my opinion. Oof. This is an interesting case of an abused woman being able to reclaim some sort of power, and her ex struggling to regain that power. That's really what, in my opinion, that's really what it's about. Nobody gives a damn about the kid.
You can see that.
The kid is collateral damage in all of this. Everyone pays fealty to the child with loving platitudes. Like the father said, he bought Christmas presents every year and he opened them on camera for his now tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of followers on one of those social media sites. I think Instagram. Mm-hmm. And the mom, for the most part, is trying to kind of keep low because people find out where you live. That's uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. But this case gets worse. There's more I'm going to read. It's going to get worse.
And isn't it funny? Mm-hmm. Isn't it funny that you can almost foresee a lot of that? And that's, I think, probably the most disturbing. Like, you know, not to, you know, totally separate, but, you know, the ones that kind of see it, you already almost know. And the ones that are getting defensive, you need to just kind of back up a little bit, calm down, mm-hmm. take a deep breath, and dissociate yourself from, you know, this isn't you. They're not talking about mm-hmm. you. They're talking about this isolated thing. You know, again, it seems relevant to the entire world, doesn't everything? Everybody's got their own proprietary this, that, and the other thing. On the other hand, you got to look at things for what it is. And like you said, because, hey, you know, that's a segue into a number of things. Well, see, yeah, look at him. Isn't he a great dad? He bought his kids presents. Mm-hmm. That's what you're seeing. Because we know what happens when the cameras are off.
yeah.
A number of things. And if the guy acts, you know, and like you said, if he acts like that in court and on he knows he's being monitored.
But he's got defense now. Look. I'm going to keep reading.
Oh, sure, yes.
I want you guys to keep listening. Eric, thank you so much for calling. When are you coming back to California?
Nope. Oh, probably in a couple of weeks. Yeah, we'll have to link up, man. Just, you know, maybe go, since you're from the Bay Area, mm-hmm. we'll go to Tower District. You'll feel right at home.
That's what everyone that doesn't live in the Bay Area says about their place, where it's just like there's weird people.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
It's not the Bay.
I noticed that. They say that stuff around here, too.
Yeah. It's, you know why it's not the Bay? Because it's not 150 degrees in the goddamn Bay Area.
Exactly. Yeah. That's a fair point. Hey, great show, man.
Eric.
And, I'll talk to you soon.
Eric, have a good night.
Hey, you too.
People always do that. They're like, dude, you go to come to Austin. It's just like the Bay. I'm like, why? It's just like the Bay. I'm like, why? Just because you have gay people in your city doesn't mean it's like the Bay. That's usually what that means. I'm going to read a little bit more before I take this next caller. Vina's online posts are also pointed at times with Vina alleging Carbone brainwashed and groomed the child. A, remember we're calling the child A, into identifying as a girl, a claim he repeated in an interview with the Times. Excuse me. Vina alleges Carbone forced A into dresses before the child could have possibly conceived of gender. If A did independently request a dress, Vina says, Carbone should have simply refused. It is our job as parents to coach our children in the right direction, he said. Raising a gender nonconforming child, particularly one as young as A, can be confusing for even the most well-meaning parents. It is also something that has been deeply researched for years. Most children between the ages of 18 and 24 months can recognize gender groups, that is, distinguish between boys and girls, and understand their own gender by 3, according to the experts at the Mayo Clinic. Prominent U.S. medical associations, such as the American Academy of Pediatrics, the American Medical Association, and the American Academy of Child and Adolescent Psychiatry, support gender-affirming care for children with gender dysphoria and urge parents to provide non-judgmental supportive environments that allow kids to explore gender safely. Vina's lawyer, who is gay, disputed that medical consensus and cited heavily tested data to suggest that a vast majority of children with gender dysphoria simply grow out of it. He also said gender-affirming care for youth should be of particular concern to gay people because it targets the future generations of gay kids, like boys who just happen to be feminine. I don't want to take a lot of time with that one because that could be a whole show in and of itself. But that's one of the things that the right is taking on. Gay erasure. At least in California. I can't speak for Seattle. I can't speak for Houston. I can't speak for Papua New Guinea. But at least in California, when I listen to hours, plural, of right-wing radio, they are taking up that position. mainstream LGBTQ plus organizations such as the Human Rights Campaign strongly support gender affirming care and emphasize that gender and sexuality are not the same. Medical experts and ethicists interviewed by the Times said that while more data is needed, modern studies support the efficacy of gender affirming care. A large longitudinal study on socially transitioned transgender youth out of Princeton University in 2022 showed that such kids retransitioning to their gender assigned at birth was relatively rare. It was slightly more common for children who began their social transition before the age of six. But even in those youth, retransition rates were very low. That's still weird. It was common, but it was low. Socially transitioning at six. Yikes. I say yikes because I don't, you know, 6 years old, I think all I wanted to do was, you know, play with my Transformers and occasionally, you know, put on my grandma's heels. Carbone, who lives in an LA suburb, said that she has friends in the gay community, but had never given much thought to gender nonconforming identities. But slowly, at A's prompting, that changed, she said. At first, A just started showing interest in more traditional girl things, which Carbone said she thought was just kind of cute and harmless. Then A started getting more persistent. She said A begged for a dress every day for a week before Carbone relented and bought one. When the dress arrived, it was like I had given her a puppy. Carbone, employing the pronouns A now uses. She pulled the dress out of the box and pulled it over her pajamas and ran around the house. At that point, Carbone said that she did not think A needed a diagnosis, but she started paying closer attention to A's feelings around gender. The more Carbone let A explore, she said, the angrier Vina grew. We have some calls I have to get to. No champagne room tonight. Because it's all y'all. Free champagne. Calling from a 619 area code caller. What is your name and where are you calling from? Oh, didn't go through. Sorry. Calling from a 619 area code caller. What is your name and where are you calling from?
It's Steve. What's up?
Yay! You get the Bay Area greeting. What's up, Steve? I know you have something to say about this.
Hey. I do, but I first want to start off, you know, on a lighter note before I get to topic. Hey, man, I saw you on Instagram live in Mexico. Well, hey, man, You need to stay up out of these streets, man. I said, look at Jason out here tricking, bro.
No, I was dropping someone off at the walkthrough border. So I was walking back.
Hey,
to
man,
downtown.
You ain't gotta give me no excuse. You ain't gotta give me no excuse, man. You ain't gotta give me no excuse.
I'll tell the story in the next champagne room we have. I'll tell that whole. It's a very fun story. I will tell that story.
Okay, bet. But you know, I just want to say, like, it's grift season. Like, obviously, because like. You know, there is a lot of notoriety, fame, YouTube, what clicks you can get out of this type of topic.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and we talking about a kid for as far as right now, it has only progressed as far as the kid, you know, has wore a dress. And, you know, I see a lot of people make these comments of like, we should be more accepting of like, you know, effeminate men. And I agree.
Mm-hmm.
I agree we should.
Mm-hmm.
But I always find it strange how we try to, like, frame it as if it's the people who support transgender or the way it is, you know, being conveyed now, as if they have created conditions in which effeminate men are not acceptable.
Mm.
That side didn't create the conditions in which we think the only possibility to be who we think we should be or validate our identity, they didn't create that. that environment. Because a lot of that social pressure come from people who don't accept gay men.
Yeah.
And don't accept effeminate men.
Yep.
And so if you grow up in that type of society and you trying to cope, or we say they got some people say it's a mental issue or whatever the case may be. If you coming up in that type of society, some people are going to be susceptible to that, of what they naturally are is not acceptable. So then they feel this pressure to then become what they to outwardly look like what's acceptable in the way in which they behave and mannerisms and whatnot. And we are, you know, and I even find it like a disingenuous, not even disingenuous, but I even find it a weird argument to think that like people get something out of like supporting it. Because like, especially like, you know, just be real, like around my community, you're not getting no cool points for saying you support even gay rights, man.
Mm-hmm.
You just not.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, maybe because I'm not a part of like some white liberal enclave, you know, there's this disconnect there. But even when I deal with like those people on a regular daily basis, nobody not giving you no cool points for saying you support transgenders. They just, you know, and they take these issues that I feel like are like, you know, serious issues that need to be discussed and, you know, need to, you know, have real arguments about. And, you know, everybody kind of turning into this thing in which, you know, I'm going to make a whole bunch of money or I'm going to get my 15 minutes of fame.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the kid is a, you know, like somebody said, is an afterthought in this, you know, whole thing, you know, really. And, you know, it's just like, the mother, I did some digging and I can't even find the mother,
mm-hmm.
you know, beyond the LA Times article, but the father, he's everywhere.
Yes.
And, you know, it's just grist season and nobody can really have like this real discussion about what's the role of the state? What role should the state, if the parent wants to involve the state? People just act like the state just got involved without, you know, somebody bringing this, you know, case up. And, you know, it's just going to be another one of those issues in which, you know, it's coming up election season.
Mm-hmm.
And now people will be saying, well, they turning all the kids into transgenders. And if you really go out into your life, how many kids do you meet that are transgender?
Exactly.
And I live in California.
Yeah.
And I live in California.
Yeah.
I have not met one. And I've been living in California going on 8 years.
Yeah.
So it's like, yes, it's a serious issue and we should discuss it. And we should, you know, some of the stuff Kush bring up in the chat, we should engage with that stuff, engage with that, you know, the research, the studies, the, you know, whatever the case. But it's just like, sometimes these people are taking this, like, very, I don't want to say small, I don't want to reduce it down to small, but they amplify this thing. And then what you mostly see is they starting off with something as far as transgender rights. And they really going for the whole enchilada. Transgender rights is just the way in which they, you know, start, because that's something you can get a lot of people obviously on board with.
That's how you take,
you know, there's a large, you know, there's a large portion of contingent of people who oppose it, you know. But that's just the start. It's the same thing with CRT. It's the same thing with DEI. Everybody loved the way it began until they say, you know, we just gonna fire all the black people and say all of them DEI hired. It's cool when we talking about liberals and how they use DEI and all that stuff, but nobody never circles back around to like the real ramifications of like what happened after the trans scare, or what happens after all these scares that we just get year over year over year over year over year. And, you know, it's just a sad, you know, sad case in my opinion.
It's sad because this is how you get a conservative state house and you start to get laws changed, because one of the things that's happening here is you have already, we talk about this show all the time, a failure of institutions. So people don't believe that institutions can save them, help them in any way possible. So trying to involve the state, you're automatically going to have people on the opposite side, whatever side the state is on certain issues. And this is an issue where, much like the satanic panic of the 80s, which there's a reason why I'm so into it, because I see it playing out very similarly in what we're seeing with this trans stuff. When the satanic panic happens, all the numbers said kids aren't getting molested at school. They're getting molested by people they know, usually in the home. Right. But enough of a fear was caused that here we are 40 years after the fact. How many men do you see working at a daycare or a Montessori school? And would you take your kid to a daycare or a Montessori school if there was men in there? The way providers interact with children is very different than the way they used to interact back in the day, because of so many people that went to jail on fallacious charges. Went to prison. Sorry, I don't want to say jail. Prison. The same thing is playing out here. We're seeing a fake panic, like you said, Steve, about all these transgenders.
Yep. And, you know, and that's just, you know, it's just, even for us to fall into it, you know, you see these arguments and it's like, yeah, we can argue about that. But I mean, we arguing about transgender rights, which we should argue, you know, grown people should be able to do whatever grown people want to do.
Yeah.
Because they say it's about the kids, but they don't stop the kids. Mm-mm. I mean, it's not even just a limited of what kids want to do. It's a limited of like what grown people want to do. And so that's why I always find it to be that side to be disingenuous about it, because I think if it was solely about the kids, I think you would have most people that it would be by far and away who would say, yeah, you know, even liberals. I think if you go look this up, even liberals. But the issue is they don't stop the kids. It's just a convenient tool right now, because right now it seems like it's the most extreme thing in politics is the trans thing. Mm-hmm. But they use this same wedge with the gay thing. Yep. And it's just a replaying of the playbook of whatever is viewed as the most extreme thing at a time. Like, we talking about the medical science behind transgenderism being, you know, messed up or whatever. Mm-hmm. Motherfuckers said the same thing about the medical science behind kids being gay.
Mm-hmm.
Same exact shit. They said the same exact shit. They said we can detransition gay kids. They said we can make kids un-gay. We can electroshock therapy them they ass to they straight. So, like, it's a reoccurring thing, you know, over and over. And the right wing is just good at this. You know, they are really good at this, like, historically. Of taking these, you know, issues that are issues, but not as big as they blow them up to be, and then turning them into, you know, their whole political movement and rallying people around it, and then really obtaining political power. People always talk about how liberals control the culture war or whatever, but when we're talking about political power in the
right
United
wing.
States of America, yeah.
It's all right.
That's the 56% of the state is controlled by conservative houses, or conservative house and Senate.
Yeah.
Some of them are super majority. So this idea that liberals have this somehow obtained this God level power is not even in reality, because their narrative ain't even winning out against the conservatives. The conservatives are winning out, and it's like people are the most reactionary of reactionaries are winning out, and it's like we rather argue about because some Lil threw up a transgender flag while these niggas over here robbing the whole boat. They running the show up.
And you know,
it's just crazy to me.
Yeah.
You know, but that's my rant on the issue. It's just like, it's grift season, you know, and of course, as usual, the right wing is five steps ahead. Because leftists like to pretend that liberals are the only ones who are stupid about politics. But they just as stupid. You can't beat liberals and you can't beat conservatives either. And so your political understanding of the state is no better than these so-called liberals that you say don't understand. Liberals got power. So they got an understanding enough to know how to grab that. But, you know, that's my rant for the day. I'm not going to go off no more beyond it. And y'all have a great day.
Thank you for the call, Steve. Peace out, brother. Steve from San Diego making fun of me because I was in Tijuana very late at night. We have more calls. Thank you guys so much for calling in. I'm so excited for these calls. I'm seeing numbers that I don't know. That makes me mildly nervous. Calling from a 651 area code caller. What is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Mariana from Minneapolis.
From Minneapolis? Hello.
Hi. I kept trying to call the past few call-in shows, and I was getting mad because I'm like, you didn't turn on the phone lines, and I realized I was calling the wrong number over and over again. So, I just averted. But, with regards to this issue,
okay,
what's very frustrating to me is how obvious it is that, like, gender's like the easiest way parents and adults in general feel they can understand kids and, like, have an idea of what they're going to be like. And there's just so much projection going on. With that, like, the intensity to which the dad apparently was like, no, you're not wearing a dress. Like, you are not a girl. You are not a girl. As if, like, either way, it would matter all that much in the grand scheme of things. Like, I have a lot of trans friends, and when they transition or, like, have a change in gender identity, it's not so much that someone completely changes as a person, other than, like, they might be more confident in themselves or their depression diminishes, stuff like that. But, like, they're still the same person. So to act like you're trying to kill my kid, basically, is extremely strange to me, and I don't understand.
You know, Spencer said something early on with his call that parents can get very callous, and I think that's an understatement. There's something to be said about having that pawn that's a child, and everyone always feels like they're going to do the right thing for the child, and it justifies your bad behavior. And in a case like this, the way I'm reading it is you have someone getting out of an abusive relationship that finally figured out how people will listen to her about how bad the ex-husband is. And the dress was the trigger that kind of, to some degree, won the case for this woman. She couldn't get a restraining order. This man was going to keep harassing her. Cops don't help you. And hey, I need a restraining order. No, you can't get one. I know people that have gotten restraining orders on dudes for way less. Way less. And she's not going to get one. So there's this idea that the court system leans heavy to women. I mean, there's a reason why that exists in the first place. It didn't at one point in time. And it doesn't still all the time. It's not always guaranteed.
Yeah, for that.
You know?
Like the vast majority of times, women, children are killed by domestic partners. So
yeah,
it makes sense. The idea of like, oh, I just called you 40 times and was screaming at you, but I didn't hit you. Like, okay, well, that's kind of a prerequisite. And also that in itself is intimidating. Because like they, you know, they have the ability and they're aware that you know they have the ability.
Yes. And so, and he does say that at some point. I'm going to keep reading the Times article. He does get into that at some point. He has one of those kind of veiled threats. But, you know, even bigger than that, it's like no one wants to live with intimidation over their shoulder. And if you can't rely on law enforcement to help you, then who can you rely on? If you can't rely on the state, who can you rely on? And for the mom, again, she found the thing. This, if this dress is going to set this fool off, you know, well, and they're giving me my restraining orders now. We get the counseling now. But also, who suffers in all this? Like I read earlier, the kid is so distraught every time gender is brought up. They just start crying. Because they know that that's the thing that's just making everybody, making everybody upset. So the kid is kind of in the worst situation possible. The kid is the one that's really losing here. And that's
sad. Yeah, I mean, kids are an easy battleground because, like, no one wants to be seen as being anti-child. But they'll just say that. It's not lined up with action. It's just like, oh, well, of course I'm on the kid's side. And any other person, well, of course I'm on the kid's side. Just people fighting over who's more pro-child while the kid suffers. And it's that. I don't know. It seems to happen with everything, really.
That it does. That it does. We tend to not really care what children think. And then to some degree, the dad has said as much. You know, you, I don't care what you think about A, B, C, or D because you're a kid and your mom did, you know, this quote unquote grooming. So the case is an ugly case, but it's to me, it's not simply a case over gender identity. That's just what blew it up.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, I mean, yeah, because then people are also talking about, like, multiple different issues at once. And it's just, the whole grooming thing is weird because, like, yeah, well, you know, if someone's raising their kid, like, they're going to be the one dressing them. And if they're like, oh, you like wearing dresses? Fine. That's a pretty, like, that's a pretty about as neutral action you can take.
Yeah, so. I mean, yeah, I have a friend whose daughter came to them at like 8 or 9 years old and was like, Dad, Mom, I want to be a boy. And their first reaction was like, oh, okay. They didn't know. I mean, that's one of those things where people always say there's no rule book to being a parent or no guidebook. That's really one of those things where like, I don't know how to respond to that other than, okay, you know. My child said to me, all I can say is like, okay, you know, what do you want to do next? And so I think she cut her hair. And then a few months later, she was like, okay, I don't want to be a boy anymore. And that was it.
Yeah, that's one of those things. Like, since there isn't more sensitivity of gender, like the idea of, you know, a kid maybe dressing a little differently or like getting different hair or whatever, it's not really... I don't see why it's a big deal. Like, I was a girl, and I was, like, wanting to wear boys' clothes and play with all the boys' things, and, like, it would have been a lot more harmful than me to have parents who were like, no, you can't do that, instead of, like, all right, like, is this harming? Is this dangerous? No? Like, okay.
You know, that's...
Do what you want, like, this...
Yeah, we call that...
The vast majority of, like, transition as a kid. You're not... The kids aren't really thinking about all these things adults are thinking about. They're just like, oh, I like the boy clothes. I like the basketball sort of thing.
You know, it's, we used to call that being a tomboy. And it just was what it was, is what it is, I guess you could say. is, you know, another question you can ask, and I don't really want to get into this, is do you feel that the state has to come in and say what your child is at that point or isn't? And that's kind of another part of this, is that you have the state coming in and go, okay, we're going to say what your child is or isn't. And then you can't say anything about it. Mm-hmm. Is that the world you want to live in? Because yeah. if this becomes one of those groundbreaking cases, sadly, those are strategies people use to make sure the other partner doesn't get custody if they want to do that. Parents are cold, yeah, man.
It's just people talk about all the, you know, I just wanted to like mention quickly, I'm not trying to ramble, but people talk about all the cisgender kids like potentially being harmed, even though there's not a lot of evidence to support like kids saying like, oh, I'm a boy, it's really harming them. But they just completely deny that like trans kids forced to grow up as the gender they don't align with is actually really traumatic and like developmentally alters their whole life and will lead to a bunch of issues down the line. And that's not seen as harm, but to me that's just kind of demonstrating people don't really care about the kids. They're just going to believe what they're going to believe. Like, no, kids can't be trans because on some level they do believe it's like a delusion. And usually if you talk to people who are like very anti kids identifying as trans, they just don't think it's a thing in general.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, what do you think about the case?
I just think that honestly, I haven't read a ton on it. I was kind of listening to your coverage, so I don't have a really formed opinion on them. Of course, I don't personally know any of these people. I just feel like if a kid wants to do some like developmentally appropriate steps, like socially transition, which it seems like that was the most that they're doing, if even that, that's completely fine. And like, you know, they can change their, they might change their mind as they get older and they might look back at that time and be like, yo, that was kind of weird. Like, but these drastic steps people act are like taking, like, oh, they're mutilating children. Like, it's not really a thing. Like, that's not the case. People are just like making up a situation to, quote, protect this kid that's not there.
That's a good point. People want to protect a child that is not theirs, and they want to say things that's not happening. Again, this child is not taking any hormones, and definitely there's no surgeries happening anytime in the near future. Is there anything else you want to say before I get these other calls?
No, I know I come off kind of like, yeah, I don't know, blah, 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 here, but I just want to say I unequivocally support trans rights, and I think this situation being complicated, though, should not obscure, like, that larger, you know, standing with trans people, even if this is a little messy because of all the family dynamics.
Yes, it is messy because of the family dynamics. Well, have a very good evening in cold-ass Minneapolis and take more pictures at the hardcore
shows. It's actually warm, but...
That's what all you Minneapolis people say.
Yep.
Have a good one.
Later.
Okay. Calling from a... anonymous call. Dun, 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 dun. Anonymous caller, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Kushluck from New York.
Oh! Kushluck, I can only see the chat out of the corner of my eye, and I'm terrified that... Did you start a war in the chat? I can only see it from the corner of my eye.
I didn't hear the beginning of your of the show today because I had a lot of work to do, and
okay.
I'm pretty tired, and then I tune in and I see this, and you definitely are given the revenge for the Blink-182 for sure. The revenge is real. I wrote a bunch of notes so I don't ramble on.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
I don't know anything about this case.
Okay.
I don't know anything about these people.
Okay.
And there's at least four possibilities. You know, maybe the government is stupid and they're good parents. Maybe they're both bad parents. Maybe one is good, one is bad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But I will say that in terms of this issue, last night,
mm-hmm.
there was a major divulging of documents from WPATH, which is the worldwide trans medicine or care organization that publishes the both the diagnostic and the procedural guidelines for care.
Mm-hmm.
And the leaked internal documents that came out yesterday, there's a, I have the document open right here, 242 pages, they show medical malpractice, incompetence. They show that the diagnostic procedures
mm-hmm.
don't really prove anything.
Mm-hmm.
They don't really measure anything. And that the doctors are all asking each other what to do, how to do it, and that they don't know what to do. And I'll give you and also it reveals that many of the things that we commonly hear, especially on the left,
mm-hmm.
regarding the treatment modalities are simply incorrect. For example, you'll hear oftentimes in left spaces, there's no such thing as surgeries on under 18 people. And I'll just quote from literally page one. These are doctors speaking to each other. Quote, as a background, I have performed 20 vaginoplasties in patients under 18 over the past 17 years. Okay, so the facts are that there is a serious medical problem occurring here. And no one cares. No one cares. No one is doing anything about it.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, I'm sorry. I'll recur to my notes. It doesn't seem like medicine.
Mm-hmm.
In medicine, normally, I spend a lot of my time doing medical translations. And in medicine, normally, one has to prove that their diagnostic procedure accurately can determine that a patient has a given condition and that you can do something about it. And that what you're doing about it helps the person. And essentially, none of these steps are well documented, really. And I don't even want to make claims that are so much. I do urge people to look at these internal communications from WPATH and to make up their own minds of these doctors. They're all doctors and surgeons
mm-hmm.
who are all asking each other these questions. And to ask themselves, how can it possibly be true that this treatment paradigm is well established if these physicians amongst themselves do not have an established paradigm in the world leading organization for this treatment paradigm? It's a very logical question that I want people to ask themselves. And I'd like to end with a story, possibly.
Go for it.
I spent years going back and forth between South America, and I had a friend, Victor. He's a gay man. He's from a tribe mm-hmm. in a rural area, and then he came to the city. He became successful. He was a nurse. He did all kinds of very impressive things. And at one point, he got cancer, and I lived with him for maybe 6 months. And I knew him very well, and I knew his family very well. But, you know, living with him and helping him through cancer and all that stuff, we were not in a relationship or anything, but,
mm-hmm.
You know, I helped him from day to day. And I got to know his parents and him extremely well. And I need a drink. My mouth is so dry. One day, his parents sat me down, and we were just talking. His mother sat me down. We were just talking, and she said, I knew he was different. He used to play with blankets. He would put on dresses. He put on my shoes. And of course, you know, my friend was, you know, blushing. He was so embarrassed. you know, how could my mom tell you all this stuff? It's so cringy and embarrassing. And it can't escape my mind that children like that are going to be targeted for treatment, quote unquote, many quotes around that word.
Mm-hmm.
Because the treatment paradigm is a reification of sexism and homophobia. That is what it is. And if you look at, and I have, there's literature to substantiate this. I'm right now looking at Griffin et al., which is a published 2021, and it's about the epidemiological groups of treatment in referrals in different countries. And right now I'm looking at referrals to adolescent gender treatment in Finland over a two-year period from 2011 to 2013. 87% are natal females. In what universe does that treatment modality, if it is reflecting a need, produce 87% of your treated population being females? If I maybe I'm going to say something that's infamous among socialists, but if we are socialists, why are we not asking, why is it that these girls feel uncomfortable being girls? Why are they disqualified from sex? And why is 87% of that population female? I'll give you another example. Referrals to Gender Identity Development Service at the Tavistock Center, London, between 1 January 2012 and 31 December 2012. Same-sex attracted females were almost 70%. Same-sex attracted males were over 40%. Mm. And that's not bisexual. I'm talking about homosexuals, right? So that is transing the gay away. There's no other way to say it. It is what it is. And the reason that data is from 2012 and published in a paper in 2021 is because they refused to provide more epidemiological data or population data. I'm sorry if I misspoke. And I should also say to everyone, I'm a nobody. I'm not an important person. I'm not a expert. I'm not anything. But having read so much of these things over a long period of time, one must ask the hard questions. And I think to a certain degree, the left has possibly entered back into kind of a homophobic discourse, kind of a sexist discourse, and they've started to reify stereotypes of gender and start to modify people to match those stereotypes. And that, to me, is no longer medicine. That's what I have to say. I'm sorry if I insulted anyone. Any errors, I also apologize for those too. I'm very tired. I've done my best. I guess I'll hang up now. Thank you.
Well, thank you for your call, Kush. Have a good night or morning, wherever you are. Kush is a patron and has been part of this show for some time. People may not agree with him all the time, but like I said earlier on, you have to have uncomfortable conversations. This conversation was going to get uncomfortable at some point. I didn't think Kush was going to call in because I think he lives, I want to say China or somewhere. Or maybe he's lying. I don't know. That guy F's around quite a bit. But, you know, this is where everything gets real sticky and icky and uncomfortable. And then it gets real tribal. I don't know if Kushluk is a feminist, so let's not call him a TERF. That's kind of a key word in that terminology. There's more calls. I'm so excited. There was a woman caller today. You guys made so many jokes about the show not having any women that call in. Take that. We have a caller from 516 area code. Calling from a 516 area code. Caller, what is your name and where are you calling from?
My name is Natalie, and I am calling from Long Island, New York.
Hello, Natalie from Long Island.
Hello, Jason. I am very happy to be on the show.
I'm very happy to hear your voice.
Basically, if I had to put it this way, I would have probably agreed with gender affirmative care, so as they call it, until my daughter at 14, a super feminine girl, you know, always pink, you know, the dolls, everything, came home and told me that for the past year, the school had been calling her Vincent without my knowledge.
So the school called you?
They never told me. She told me.
Oh, so your daughter just told you.
Me because she wanted to get out of it.
Okay.
Yeah, but she didn't tell me for a year. So for a year, you know, like she had mentioned maybe, you know, like she didn't want to be like a Kardashian was the main thing when she originally had told me something. And I agree with that. Of course not. You know, who would want that? But then having the school lie to me like that, I really thought it was a right wing like fever dream. And it wasn't. It wasn't. They lied to me. She feels betrayed. I feel betrayed. She's happily back in her natural gender. I'm a bisexual woman. Totally support gay rights. I there's something going on here, and I you know, it's more than you know what the left generally has been claiming, and I don't like it.
So your daughter is she's still a young teen, or is she older now? This was like years ago, or this was like yesterday?
She's 14, and truthfully, I would have thought like the ROGD was you know, right-wing stuff, right? But she never had any of this. Got involved online with some 40-year-old woman who ended up, you know, that the school told me I should not allow her not to talk to.
Okay.
That ate out of dog bowl. I mean, literally crazy stuff. Was talking to her sexually and, like, you know, finally when I realized she was 40, I definitely cut it off. But I was even eerie when I thought she was younger. There's some weird stuff going on, you know. I support transgender people, definitely, especially when you're 18, you want to do what you want. I will totally support you and back you, but there's stuff going on, and you know, that I feel is not being addressed by the left.
My question to anyone, and it's interesting you say your daughter wanted to be, didn't want to be, is we live in this moment of permanence. Things, you know, everybody wants to pull up something you said 20 years ago, right? Here's a picture of you at this thing 20 years ago. Here's this thing you did 20 years ago. As if we don't grow and change over time, right? Mature, right? The things that you like, I don't know how old you are.
If you don't change, I am 48 years old. And if you don't change, then I can't imagine not changing. I've changed a lot in that time.
Right. You know, I was once a 21-year-old man that decided that marriage made a lot of sense. I don't tell that to my young children that they should repeat the steps of their father.
I do the same.
You know, what I thought was
woman, I say the same thing.
What I thought was cool as a young person, what I thought was attractive as a young person, are things that I do not find attractive now in my 40s. I'm 46. And things I believed.
100%.
Things I believed in my younger years, I don't believe anymore. So is it harder for young people now? Because there's this thing called the internet, and people go, oh, remember when your profile picture, you said A, B, and C, and now you're da, 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 da. Like, is it harder to
really? I think it's so much harder.
Oh, okay.
I think that it has such an impact. I mean, maybe, you know, that's just because when we grew up, it wasn't, you know, I think I had like the original Apple computer, which you could basically make some printed things on. You know?
Yeah.
But that's just, you know, as I said, maybe I'm just old and out of touch now. But I don't know. Leftism, I follow you guys, you know, Doug Lane, Ashley Frawley, you know, Sublation. To me, maybe it's because you guys are my age cohort. Mm-hmm. I don't know. But you know what? When she decided to tell me, it was because she wanted to come back from that.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah.
How's she doing now?
She's doing, actually, her grades went up. She's on honor roll. Mm-hmm. She started making friends.
Good.
She's doing fantastic.
Good.
And she was like, you know, I mean, like, they had her, like, so depressed. That's why I'm like, I don't want to say that. And I'm like, of course, I'm not joining Moms for Liberty, for Christ's sake. You know, but like,
yeah.
You know, do they have a kernel of truth in there? I think they do. You know, and I don't think it's all hate. You know, some of them, obviously, a lot of them are hate.
Yes.
But it's, I do not. I've never been that way. You know, but I do think that some of it is, you know, there is a slight bit of the social contagion, you know, and I don't know what to do about it. Because as I said, I don't want to join some right-wing lunatics.
You know, we're all trying to figure it out. So please don't jump ship just yet. You know, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and tell you that I have the answers, but I'd rather sit here with you and have a conversation and hear the wonderful news that your little one's doing well.
Thank you. And as long as there's people like you and you know, then there's no way I'm jumping ship.
Okay.
You know, I've always been a socialist. There's, you know, as I said, that's why I didn't make a complaint. I have a lawyer friend of mine who wanted to press charges. I'm like, hell no, you know, but did it upset me greatly? It definitely upset me that I was not told behind. I mean, I don't believe like completely in parental rights. I understand there are kids that are abused and do need that freedom, mm-hmm. you know, from their parents. But, you know, I'm not a family abolitionist, you know. I think there is still a place.
Well, Natalie, thank you for your call. I think we're all glad to hear that your young one is doing well. And please don't be a stranger and call again next time we open up phone lines.
Oh, I would love to. I was so glad to catch you guys tonight because normally I end up catching it later. Mm-hmm. And I'm one of probably your earliest supporters.
Oh, fuck you, yeah.
Pascal. Yeah, love you guys.
Hell yeah. I'll make sure to pass that on. So, Natalie, thank you. Have a good night.
You too. Thank you so much, Jason.
Peace.
Thank you.
Man, that sounds rough. You can change your mind. It's okay. We're trying to figure shit out. Another call. 727 area code caller. What is your name? Where are you calling from?
My name is Ben. I'm in St. Petersburg, Florida.
Hell yeah.
Let's see. I was like the biggest thing that I was thinking about was the support, like that. So they're all reaching out for support, and it all sucks. in Florida we have DCF, Department of Children and Families, or Destroying Children and Families, and there's a lot of good people in it, of course. But there's also a lot of climbers. So it's like a career path. It's like, you know, you could just tell that a fair amount of the people in there are like, just like in that position, like with like Child Protective Services or whatever, Family Services. And like, they're just on their way someplace else. So I don't know if that affects like the
the dynamics of the case. I agree. I think so.
Like with the, especially like with the gender identity, I don't know. It makes it so that people have messed up, what's that word?
Incentives?
Incentives. Thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. And I totally get what you're saying. Like, she found a way to get people to listen to her. And that guy's obviously, like, a pain in the ass. Like, he's making her life a living hell. I totally get why she would do that, too. And then from the guy's standpoint, not to excuse him at all, but, from his point of view, especially if he's the kind of person who isn't very good at looking at himself and seeing that he's got problems, like, it just is becoming like this Kafka-esque nightmare and nobody is able to talk to him.
Yeah.
And like, nobody's able to, like, with the right support, maybe he wouldn't have to have a 5-year freaking, not be able to see his kid for 5 years. I mean, that's a huge failure.
I'll ask you this question. It does feel, to your point, that there is reactionary elements, and it does feel that there is a certain amount, especially once the case gets a lot of attention, social climbers. The main judge that was handling the case, I think for the first couple of years, recused himself, and no one knows why. My belief, this is just my own belief, is that the judge was just disgusted by the case. Because you see, you know, you work in family court. It's a horrible place to work because you're seeing the worst in people every day. I worked in homeless services. That's kind of one aspect of life people don't like to deal with. But family court is where everybody gets their ugly out, right? They get their knives out. They go deep every frickin' time. And it felt like maybe the judge is like, this is all too far. And I can't even be a part of it anymore. I don't want to be a part of it anymore. Because Spencer in the chat had brought up an interesting point that I don't necessarily agree with 100%. But I want to add this kind of main question in here. Take all the trans stuff aside. Does the father deserve the right to be in their child's life? And does the state have to intervene? Now, remember, the child was never hit. He just didn't want the kid to wear a dress. Should the state intervene say no, because you don't agree with the way this kid identifies, you can't be a part. And I'm asking the question. I do not know the answer. I'm asking the question, and I'll ask it to you. Well, how do you feel about that?
I personally, it's a tough one, and like I have firsthand experience with this. And it's a question that I can't even answer. Like sometimes, mm-hmm. for sure, but. I feel like most of the time, no. Like, I feel like there's got to be, like, as socialists, what would the socialist solution be for that?
Yeah.
It can't be this.
It can't be liberal democracy. Right? It can't be the liberal laws. Yeah. It can't be the You know, it's like, ugly.
Yeah.
It's ugly. You know, you could read all the marks you want, and the child custody ain't in there.
No, it's not. I feel like there's got to be a clue, but yeah, you're right.
Because this wasn't something that was thought of, you know, back then to this level, and we think of it now. And, you know, I'm living here 600 miles away from my kids, who are mostly older. But I have one young 5-year-old, an aspiring dinosaur that, you know, It's a struggle to see him, to talk to him. But I know how ugly courts can get. And it's like, I don't even know how to handle it. You know?
Courts, I don't know. I get, like, even the judges, like you said, like that judge had to recuse himself. Like, I've seen judges just, I've seen that disgust from them, just that disgust and just the utter, just like, I've seen them just be totally demoralized by the process.
Yeah. Such a fucking, and oh, like, yeah.
And like, I'm not a fan of judging, but I totally, I feel for them in that situation. Like, I totally, yeah, they're definitely like, I saw their humanity in that, like, there. And so, I don't know. I wish I had better answers.
Look, I'm opening up the phone lines to you guys because I know I don't have the answers, but I feel very confident that we can get somewhere because there's some interesting people that call into this show that are subscribers on this channel that leave, you know, paragraph long comments to tell me why I'm a fucking idiot. So someone has to know something here.
Well, I appreciate what you do. And yeah, thanks.
All right. Well, have a very good night, brother. Oof. Oof, oof, oof. I want to say thank you to everybody that's still on. It's 11 o'clock for a lot of people on the East Coast right now. We've gone 2 hours. Thank you for all the callers. This is great. I hope you guys are enjoying this conversation. I don't have the answers. This case was just one of those things that it struck me. I keep seeing Strom say something about Radlib QAnon. I don't know if he was talking about this or a lot of the phobia around, you know, transgender, but I'm going to read one more thing before I take call. In July 2021, Carbone again applied for a domestic violence restraining order, alleging an array of abuse from Venice since he learned about the pink dress. Carbone attached the Our Family Wizard messages and a long showing Venice 69 calls to her in the span of 90 minutes. Carbone said she was concerned for her safety because Vena owns guns and is unable to manage his anger. Now remember, even his lawyer said that he just has fuck you Tourette's, where he just says mean shit and can't control it because he has some sort of learning disability that also causes him to be mean, which I don't know what learning disability that is. During a subsequent hearing, Vena asked the court to deny the restraining order as a baseless attempt to separate him from their child. Sounds fair. But he undermined his own argument by repeatedly interrupting in anger over A's gender, according to court transcripts. Excuse me. That's not right to put a boy in a girl's dress, Vena said at one point. He's 3 effing years old. LA County Superior Judge Harvey Sibelman and Vena's attorney at the time begged Vena to calm down. The transcripts show 5 deputies were called in to ensure courtroom security. If you're yelling and screaming at everybody in the courtroom in the most formal of all settings, how does everybody think you behave when you're not in this formal setting? Silberman asked. The judge granted the restraining order. He also ordered A, the child, to be assessed at the Center for Trans Youth Health and Development at Hospital Los Angeles. This is where it gets good. Silberman limited Venice interaction with A to 2 10-minute FaceTime calls per week. He ordered Carbone to dress A in gender-neutral clothing from the waist up during the calls and said A's clothing was not to be discussed. Excuse me. This is interesting to me that the judge was like, look, you're setting this dude off on purpose. So I don't know what you're going to do if you see him in person. So this is the interaction that you're going to have, which I think is really limited. Again, as someone that has limited interaction with my own little one, that's really limited. But the fact that he's letting that, you know, that rule down, that like, hey, you can't instigate a fight, because that's interesting. Silberman told Vena that he hoped when they next reconvene that they could have a calmer discussion. But if you come and you can't control yourself, you're not going to gain my trust that you can control yourself with a child, Silberman said. I don't want that to happen, but the next step is yours. Vena's lawyer said Vena's frustration in court was completely understandable, but given he was losing custody of his child on what he believed were outrageous grounds, his outbursts don't look good to the judge, Vena's lawyer said. But legally speaking, from a fairness perspective, that's not enough to extinguish your parental rights. What say y'all? We have some calls. One of these calls is from a 412. Calling from a 412 area code. Caller, what is your name and where are you calling from?
Hey, hey, Jace. Sorry, I'm all nervous. Jim from the chat.
Okay.
It's
just me, dude. It's just if you're gonna be nervous with anybody, I'm the last cat you should be nervous about because I'm chill as shit. You're good. You're good. You're good.
The family stuff is it's real tough, especially, you know, family courts and stuff, you know, judges and things like that. I know a lawyer who took one case, just totally burned him out, you know, and he just like quit the, he did other lawyer stuff, but he never did family law again. My sister, you know, she was involved in abusive sort of relationship type stuff, but he was never he never hit her, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But it was like everything up to that, right? So it would be like, you know, he'd like lock the doors, he'd hide the keys, he'd like physically block her and like corner her and just as you were saying, berate her, you know?
Yeah.
Like yell and scream, and you know it wasn't just, I mean, whatever the fuck. Anyway, it wasn't just her. She you know, they had a kid, you know.
Yeah.
And so, if you have that kind of like anger, if you're going to be like, you know, I know like people, you know, you get in a relationship and you know how to like, you know how to like just like say one word or whatever, you know, get some inflection in your voice or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
And just fuck it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? And your girlfriend or whatever is just instant, you know. Just completely set them off, you know. But like, you know, kids can do that too. You know what I mean? Like, kids will learn that shit, yeah. You know? And is this guy like when the kid, you know, kids don't stay young forever, right? You know, like they get 3 years old, right? You know, mm-hmm. They get, you know, 6, 7, 8. They start picking up behavior and they learn how to piss off their dad. You know, like it's so easy to, you know, you grab an adult's arm or something or whatever, right? You know, you're angry or whatever. It doesn't really necessarily hurt them or whatever, right? You have a kid. You know, I don't know. I mean, you know. Maybe it's just too personal for me, but
I feel you, man. Look, hey, you got time. I'm here. I'm listening to you. Is your sister okay now?
Wish I could say.
Ooh.
I haven't talked to her in I saw her once when I was in the hospital. She came by. I guess she heard I was in the hospital and then she came saw me. I don't know. She has, I don't know what it is. I'm not fucking talking, but she'll isolate herself from other people so that she doesn't have options, you know,
mm-hmm.
like she doesn't have people to reach out to get help from. Mm-hmm. So, and then she'll get into a relationship with someone who is, you know, abusive. And she kind of traps herself in that. I don't want to put it on her. You know what I mean? Like, it's not all her, obviously.
Yeah.
But she has that sort of, she's vulnerable to that, I guess I should say. I don't know. You know, because, you know, the other, you know, whatever. I shouldn't blame her. I guess
sometimes, just, think of it like this.
They're over not talking to her for 10 years.
Hey, think of it like this. Sometimes it's easier to navigate, and I'm not giving excuses, just something to think about, some perspective. It's easier to navigate within a shitty relationship because you know how that's going to turn out. you know what that dude's going to do, what he's not going to do. You know, it don't, this isn't, again, this hope that, I don't know if this is going to make you feel any better, but, that's always helped me when dealing with women in violent situations, because that's something that, you know, I dealt with at the shelter when I did, and I'm going to deal with it every day at the shelter. You know what I mean? You can separate people, you can kick dudes out, and then the cycle's just going to repeat again shortly. So you kind of have to first identify the fact that some people feel comfortable navigating in that water. And when they're ready to talk to you about it, then you can, you know, maybe even start a therapy group about, like, we got to help you deal with this violent past and why you keep doing this, this violent dance, because it's not going to end well for you. You know what I mean?
I mean, you know, she's also an asshole, too. I'm just saying, like, you know, to be fair.
Well, you know.
It's not like, you know, it's not like, it's not, you know, I mean, whatever. I don't know.
Look,
whatever.
I wasn't talking I wasn't talking to wallflowers every day at the shelter either, that we're, you know, we're huddled in the corner.
Yeah, exactly.
You
know, I've heard you say some, you know, tell, you know, some stories. You know, that's actually really helped me a lot, just listening to some of the stuff you said about that, you know, that make me, you know, like a lot of good points that you've, you know, whatever. So I guess thanks for that. And, or depending on how much, Patreon money I give you, I don't know, maybe, maybe you should be thanking me.
I thank you for these lights, brother.
I think I'm on like the $3 a month. So
that still keeps more lights on than you think.
But I did also kind of want to, you know, I don't know if Push is still in the chat or whatever, you know.
Oh yeah,
Push,
yeah.
But I do kind of disagree a little bit with him with what he was saying. Like, you know, like when it comes to like the trans stuff, you know, just more broadly, I guess, like, you know, like there's a lot of, like bad medical stuff out there. Like a lot of the desistant studies are just, they're not great. They're also not necessarily like, so like they'll have different standards for like identifying trans people. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes they'll use like old definitions or whatever, just weird ones. And so, cause they're trying to get a large pool of people. And like, that's like, and this is like, I'm in like, you know, I'm in like a, like a somewhat of like a trans community, I guess you want to call it, like online. And, you know, so, but like, you know, it's a bunch of fucking anarchists. So I'm not gonna like, you know, teach you about materialism because it's fucking hate. But anyways, you know, there are a lot of trans people in there, and you know, they actually do, you know, like I think it's more like the sort of liberal non-trans people that are saying a lot of this stuff, because like a lot of people that I know that are trans really do talk about this kind of stuff, you know, that Kush was talking about, like, surprisingly, actually, you know, like they'll bring up like, well, what about kids? Like, we got to be careful about kids. Like, I mean, not all of them. I mean, some of them are like, I guess, I don't know, radical, what we call it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, where they're just like, everyone should, you know, be on hormones or whatever.
Jesus Christ.
Or just get them whatever that they want, essentially. Right. But like, you know, a lot of the assistance stuff is like a lot of those studies come from like this place, like CAMH, whatever. And I guess like what the argument against that is that it was like a Canadian, like transgender clinic or whatever. Mm-hmm. And I think the guy in charge, I can't remember his name, but what they say is that he, like engaged in, gender aversion therapy or something or whatever.
Okay.
Where he would try and like, you know, I don't know the necessarily the truth of it, so I don't want to be like super definitive, but he would like do stuff to like make them fit into the gender or whatever, right? Like so if someone came in you know, like a child or whatever, like they would get bird KMH or whatever, and he would do like therapy where he would like, I guess, try and make them fit into certain gender roles or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And like a lot of these studies draw their like pool of like participants or whatever from KMH. So like the argument is like, well, that's just a poison. That's like, you know, you're taking from a poison well, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And then like the other argument is that, well, like, you know, they're using these sort of definitions that don't actually like define trans people, right? Because for the first study, you got to come up with like a criteria of like, well, who is included, right? Who is, mm-hmm. right? And so you got to be like, well, they got to meet this, and this, you know. And the argument is that, you know, like I guess clinically, the argument is that it's like clinically irrelevant. They do a lot of these studies because they use like different or incorrect criteria for determining who's trans and who isn't, right? So like you would go like as an individual patient, you would not be participating in a study, I guess. And you would go to like I don't know, hormone doctor, whatever the fuck, like endocrinologist, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, they would, you know, you would be dealing one on one and stuff like that. You know, like a psychiatrist or whatever, depending on whatever sort of protocol they use, you know, which that's also the problem too, is that they don't have like a real, they're starting to develop certain like protocols, certain standards. And like a lot of them are just like, they're not good. Like they're not accurate. They don't work well. Like that's true. You know, like I'm definitely on Kush's side on that, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But like, you know, I mean, I think like transgender people do exist. And I think that they all, you know, I think that, but I also think that he's right that, you know, there is like this idea that like, well, you're gay. Well, we'll just make well, you must be trans, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because like that's understandable in society. It's like, well, we can understand, oh, you're just a man or you're just a woman. That's why you like men or women or whatever, right?
Mm-hmm.
You're not gay, right? Because that's still like, I think Norm Finkelstein was writing about I think in his latest book,
I'll burn that bridge.
I don't remember the name of it now.
Yeah, I'll burn that bridge when I get to it.
But he talks about this where it's like, you know, I think who he quotes now, like some French guy, I can't remember, some French philosopher, I can't remember which one,
mm-hmm.
but he was talking about like World War II and how like French people would like in public go out and like, you know, grab the arms of like a Jewish person and like and publicly be like, oh, aren't I so nice to the Jews?
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, you know, with the friends and when they're away from them, you know, they're all like, you know, fucking Nazis, right? You know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, Norm makes the point that it's like a performative thing. And it's very similar to the situation now where it's like, oh, I have a trans friend. This even applied, I guess, to gay people, right?
Mm.
Especially, you know, how many times was it like you have the token black, the token, the token gay, mm. right? What do they call like the women that hang around gay guys or whatever, like beer or wait, no.
We won't say, this is the main show, we won't say, but in the champagne room, we'll say the main show.
Yeah. But you know, it's like whatever. But you know, it's this performative, right? It's this performative thing of like, aren't I? It gives you like social credit, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, but it's still gross, right? Like mm-hmm. to them, right? The reason that they're doing it is because, well, it's so gross. Aren't I so like great magnanimous for allowing this gross thing,
yeah,
you know, so close to me, right? Like I'm going through a personal, you know, a sacrifice or something, like that, mm-hmm. right? To be around this gay person, or you know, I guess even a trans person, but you know, also trans people, as I say, you know, they're more acceptable in society to a degree, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, like, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but you know, that's I'm going to be disrespectful. You know, like there's some women out there that look like men. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like that are not trans at all, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, so, you know, that's acceptable, right? And if you have, you know, a trans person, that's more acceptable in society than it is for, you know, some gay guy or a lesbian or whatever, or bisexual or whatever, right?
Where I live currently, I would say it feels more acceptable in the bigger cities. So if I was in like Mexico City, or like TJ or Tijuana, I might see, Steve was teasing me earlier because he saw me walking back, and to walk back from the border, you got to walk through the red light district. And so there's definitely trans, sex workers in the red light district. Not to say that the only trans people in TJ are in the red light district, but it's something that you see that's more acceptable in the bigger city here. I just don't see it where I live. Where I'm from, it was everywhere. You know, I'm from the Bay Area. You know, acceptable, I think we have to look at acceptable on this kind of interesting spectrum of where you see these people in your everyday life, right? Is it acceptable to see trans people walking around the area of San Francisco called the Tenderloin? Yep. Is it acceptable to see them engaging in sex work? Yeah, sure. Is it acceptable to see them in offices? Nah, you don't really see them in offices. When I was there, I didn't. So it goes back to that whole, like, is it socially acceptable, to your point? Are people getting a bit of social credit for acting quote unquote tolerant for it? Sure. I agree with that 100%. But are these people, you know, all over the business world? No, not really. But they're also not a very large population to begin with.
There's something like 0.1%.
Yeah, it's like less than 1%. Yeah, it's less than 1% of the whole population.
It's just like everyone has the internet or whatever, and so you can just like.
But is it?
You have 10 trans people, you know, but.
which you know, and I went out of my way not to to. I have trans friends, and I didn't want them to be a part of this show because I didn't want to use them as some sort of cover to have people call in and say things that, you know, may not be the quote unquote right thing to say.
Yeah.
You know, it's just that's fucked up.
Also, I wasn't saying like trans people don't exist. That's not my point. You know, I hope I didn't sound like that. I do think, you know, trans people do inevitably exist, you know. I guess it's just the problem is, like I was saying, like it's just like, how do you identify to give them, you know, I mean, like help, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that's the question, right? That's the question. And I mean, obviously, you know, anyone on the right is not, it's completely disingenuous when they're saying like, oh, you know, we're just concerned about, you know, this or that. I really think that, you know, I do think, you know, like I do think people on the left that are, some people on the left that are concerned about, you know, this sort of topic are probably like, you know, some of the only, I'm just saying like broadly, like, you know, like the people you hear, I don't mean like every individual right-wing person,
yeah.
You know, that's mean like the politicians and fucking Ben Shapiro.
Oh, brother, it's satanic panic all over again. It's they're coming for the children. And we have to remember, I think we look at that time and go, man, some people did some wacky things. It's like, no, people went to prison. Laws were changed because, and this is where it gets really good, because there was a consensus that judges were too lenient on pedophiles. And this is where you start giving district attorneys a lot more power and judges less power. So this is a really, really important thing to look back on, and we shouldn't look back on it flippantly. We shouldn't look back on it like it's cool goth trivia, like following your favorite serial killer. Like, this is a very pivotal time in U.S. history.
Yeah.
You know, and go ahead, brother. I'll shut up. Go ahead.
Oh no, I was just gonna say, like, I think you know, you were on a roll. I say to be an asshole, but you know, like, I don't know, maybe I'm just fucking saying shit, but mm-hmm. You know, I think the sort of tendency of, like, the end of history, right?
Yeah,
you know,
we
do is fucking talk about the end of history. But you know, I'm very articulate. But you know, that kind of lends itself to looking back on the past as, like, that, as well as, you know, obviously media, whatever, I don't know, it's a lot of reasons. I shouldn't just say one reason, but, you know, like, we look on the past, those instances is like aberrations or exciting, weird phenomena, you know, where it's like novel, and it's like, well, that'll never happen.
Brother, we believed without questioning that a woman was sold by her mother to a cult of Satanists, where she witnessed.
There's a great clip. I don't think it's on YouTube. You have to, like, search on Google. It's on some weird archive thing not Anton LaVey, but, like, some guy who broke off from the church. So he was a lieutenant in the, or colonel or something in the, like, U.S. Army Reserves or whatever. And he was head of, like, the Temple of Seth or something or whatever. He, like, broke off from, like, the Satanist, whatever, the Anton LaVey thing.
Mm-hmm.
And he was on him and, I don't know, it was, like, his wife or girlfriend or someone, some other woman, I don't know, were, like, guests on Oprah Winfrey in, like, 1990,
mm-hmm.
maybe 1980, I don't even know. But it was great. And she just, like, I don't know, I mean, I guess they probably set up the audience, I don't know. But, I think they probably, like, chose people, you know, invited people into the audience. But, I mean, I think these people were just fucking, I don't know. I mean, I think what they were saying, they actually believed. Or, I don't know if they actually, I mean, they, what I mean is, like, I don't think they were told to say this or whatever by, like, the crew or whatever.
You know,
the setup of Oprah, right? You know, they like, have people on and she goes to the audience, right?
Yep.
But, like, there's just insane people. This one dude just gave this, like, crazy detailed story to this guy, you know, the Satanist or whatever the hell he was like, you know, it was like so fucking, he was like such a, like, nerd. he had weird, like, eyebrow thing. Like, he had them like shaved in, like, a weird way. I was like, no way they're letting you, like, be, you know, whatever. Anyway. But anyways, he was just such, like, a normal, like, almost like suburban dad guy, you know, like, he had this sort of demeanor but the crowd, the audience was like, this one guy was, like, going, he went in this really crazy, like, he seemed to me like he was, like, mentally unwell, but he gave this whole long story about how he was, it didn't make any sense either. He gave the story of how he was, like, his family, like, sacrificed, or, like, he's involved. He was a former Satanist, and he participated in human sacrifice.
Yeah. Yeah.
and then he's like, wait, but, like, I forget, I can't remember anymore. But it's a great clip. I'm sorry, that was the point. I'm sorry.
Well, that's like, and there's another thing that was happening
on the show. Seriously.
Well, you know, I'm. I want to bring the guy that wrote the book on We Believe the Children, which I think is a great book. If you get a chance to check that book out, it's called We Believe the Children. Such a damn good book, because he really has a historiography of this whole thing. But there's a moment in time where there's women that are having memories pretty much implanted in their minds that their parents molested them. And it never happened. Yeah. And it took a few years, but there started to be lawsuits against a lot of these doctors that were just implanting these memories because it was hot science at the time. And I'm not trying to draw a direct line between that and anything transgender. I'm just saying that there's sadly we live in a capitalist world, and
people want to make that money.
Want to make that money. And the book that kind of, for a lot of people, that is.
And then the hoes ain't loyal, right?
That's where the loyalty of hoes really comes to play when we talk about the famous question on TIR, are these hoes loyal? And if you ask the TIR Central Committee, our answer across the board is no. Because once you've hoed, loyalty is out the fucking door. And when you think about a book like Michelle Remembers, which is this doctor's firsthand account of this woman who had just had a miscarriage, saying that her mother sold her to a sex or the Satanist cult and all this shit happened. This is a best-selling book in various countries. Yeah. These people end up kind of setting the parameters to the point where police departments and the FBI now have an entire department dedicated to satanic ritual abuse. None of it was happening.
To your earlier point of like, you know, it like coming, you know, like this shit like happens again or whatever you want to call it. Like, you know, like people trace, I mean, some people, I don't know how true or whatever, you know, I haven't really done a lot of research into it. But like, you know, we'll trace like the satanic panic, all the way back to like the 60s or 70s or whatever, yeah. Like the cult deprogramming movement, you know?
Yeah.
I guess the same people and some of those people were like fucking like murder, like they murdered some of the people they rescued and then they would like torture them and stuff. Like literal beat them and like like to get to like so-called like, you know, to deprogram them. Yeah. It's not like it just cropped up one day. Like a continuous line you can draw from previous I guess to the point of Marx, right? Yeah.
there's definitely a line and I'm trying to figure it out with this, but this case is one of those things where it's like, look man, and I keep saying it, if you think this case is about just transgendered children and their parents, it's like, no, it's like the state, I think their role and kind of neutering the father's ability to even interact with his child is something
the whole family thing, you know, like you know, divorce and family court, you know, that all these threads are tied together, you know, that comes out of you know, that's like feminist patriarchy, right? Yeah. You know, like you know, all the system of divorce and how, you know, alimony and all that stuff is built upon, you know, this sort of patriarchal sense that, well, you know, women can't take care of themselves. You know, I'm just sort of saying, like, you know, the point is like you can draw threads all the way back, like that interacts. You know, the whole family court is, why is there a separate court? You know, like it's there for a reason. You know, it was grew at someone, right? And all the stuff in its fact.
No, I'm with you. Well, look, I got to take this one last call. Thank you so much for your call.
Yeah.
Please call in again. Don't be nervous. It's just me. Have a good night. It's just me, guys. It's always just me. You should never be nervous around me. I'm just too chill for you guys to be nervous with. And if you've met me in real life, then you even know it too. It's like, come on, that's Jay. Jay's chill. Here's someone that knows me in real life. Calling back in. Spencer.
Hey, can you hear me, Jason?
Yes, I can.
Hey. I guess I'm watching the chat explode here.
Yeah.
this is much better than my alternative means of preparing for my class on gender and sexuality tomorrow. I guess I just want to talk to looking at the chat and looking at, you know, leftists like lose their minds over these questions.
Yeah.
I feel like, you know, I mean, I said early on in the chat, like, look, this is like a liberal, like, we're just talking about liberal law and so forth. Like, I never really thought that this, I take a couple of things for granted. One, you know, I had good parents. I have a loving wife. I tend to, you know, I think sexuality is one of the few true pleasures in life. You know, so I think of family and sexual life as, you know, really important spaces, even if, you know, whatever, it's bourgeois. We live in a bourgeois society, and this is the way we are. That's why I was talking about, like, you know, well, what about the, you know, what about, I took this father and, you know, in good faith, like, this is about custody of his child. You know, that's really what it's about. It's, you know, I'm not saying he wants custody, like full custody, just, you know, to see his child and to be a father to this child. And I take this woman in good faith that, you know, he can be very toxic and whatever. I obviously, the relationship between this woman and this man has to be distinguished from his rights potentially as a father. And I don't think that a child dressing up in a woman, you know, a male child dressing up in woman's clothes is the trans issue. Right. And I take seriously what Natalie was saying and what others were saying about social workers and the state and teachers, you know, so I think my parents loved me and I don't think my teachers did. So I don't understand, like, hostility towards your parents around this issue. And I've talked to students, you know, at my university that will tell me they want to be teachers because they want to help to, they want to try to save children from their parents. You know, in practically so many words. And I just think, like, well, that's fucked up. Right. Mm-hmm. You know, just to give you an anecdote, Jason, my mother is, you know, she's not a leftist of any kind. Right. And here her son is some kind of crazy Marxist scholar,
mm-hmm.
whatever, you know, she grew up in the '50s. Right. Like when she first asked me about Marx, she's like, isn't he some Russian guy? Right. You know, that's what she, mm-hmm. you know, that's what she learned. Right. But, you know, now her son's a Marx scholar. So my mother is like 83 years old and she's talking to me about, like, you know, Trotsky and, you know, the Trotsky-Stalin debate, you know, and who was right, you know, why? Because she loves her son. And I feel like, you know, most parents can deal with a lot of things from their children. Right. That's what I heard Natalie saying, you know, like, why does the school think that I have to be shielded from knowledge about my child? Right. So I guess I just feel like, you know, I tried to say this at the beginning, like, doesn't this boil down to some rather simple questions? Like, when do people have the right to make their medical decisions rather than their parents? Right, because when you're talking about transgender, right, you're talking about a couple of different things. You're talking about, like, you know, you're talking about potentially altering someone's sexuality, right?
Yeah.
Hormone therapy, medical treatments that address your hormones, and then, of course, potentially, you know, operations that are going to change your ability to have sexual pleasure or what kind of sexual pleasure you can have for the rest of your life. And as far as we can tell, you know, they're pretty irrevocable. And so, you know, individuals are going to have to make those decisions from themselves, because they're going to have to live with those decisions. But, you know, you got to have parents have to have rights before that, right? Because parents are only ones that are going to make sure that their kids are okay, right? I wouldn't want my well-being medically to be left up to anyone else other than my parents when I'm a kid. Right. So it kind of comes down to the fact that, you know, we make a distinction between like the age at which you can drink and the age at which you can vote and the age at which you can consent to sex, you know, and the age at which you can be charged as an adult. Right. We make all of these distinctions. And it seems to me that, you know, I don't know. It feels to me like the Democrats and sure the Republicans too, like, gin up a lot of hysteria, but, you know, leftists really, you know, shouldn't be like losing their minds over like talking about a 3 or 4 year old child, 5 year old child whose mother seems, you know, again, you have to take people in good faith, right? She seems to be saying, look, this is this child's desire. Right? It's not me forcing it upon her. So I'm not quite sure, like, where, you know, I think there is an interest in like a very boring, you know, case of a working class custody dispute, you know, working people having a custody dispute. But I think that, you know, like, you're erasing me and so forth. And all that Kushluk said about, like, this can, you know, this science is very embryonic and sketchy, you know, I don't know, like, I don't know, but, you know, obviously doctors have, you know, they're ethically bound to communicate to their patients, you know, their certainty about the procedures that they're recommending. So I guess I feel like, you know, asking, you know, what do you think just about the level of like the overheatedness of it, you know, like if we just accept, like, yeah, people want to become trans, like, we don't have to, you know, we don't have to, like, people in the chat are like, oh, trans is fake, and like, I just feel like, you know, who am I to say?
Yeah.
You know, like, obviously young people are going through things and their sexuality is different in ways that is good and bad. You know, our generation was very, this generation is much more concerned that you can tell the difference between men and women than we were. You know, we might wear loose clothes. We might sort of be hippified and, you know, look very effeminate. Not much fewer men in our generation were concerned about being ripped. You know, my students, like, the boys have short hair and the girls have long hair. And, you know, they're very clear about these things in a way that isn't, you know, it's not just about progress, right? It's just change. But I feel like, you know, at some level, you know, certainly as far as like trying to think about the possibility of building socialism, you know, you take people as you find them and you have solidarity with them on grounds that you can, you know, politicize. And otherwise you just insist on your rights.
My issue.
That's all I wanted to throw in there. Okay. It's an interesting conversation.
Spencer, I'm glad you called back. Because I know it's late where you are, so I'm glad you called back.
I stay up.
You know, this is. And I've been very uncomfortable about saying how I like feel on the whole thing. I'm with you on the whole. Who am I to say who you are? Especially if I meet you as who you are, right? One of the first shows we had a woman named Esperanza Fonseca, who's, a trans, activist. That was an episode where I got a bunch of like hate mail after that episode, tons of hate tweets and hate mail, just hate. And, it kind of brought me and Esperanza a little closer together. And Esperanza is a person I actually know in the real world. I met her before, you know, I was really doing this show. And I've never questioned or thought to question who or what she is or what she's trying to do with, because it's never been something that went through my mind that I have to define. You know what I mean? You know, the broader question for me in the quest to build socialism is, you know, can you build through the wall of identity? And that's the biggest barrier, is the wall of identity for me. And this is one of those things right now where it's becoming a real big problem, because people are kind of, you know, using identities. You know, we're seeing it more. There was another New York Times article about a woman that lied and said she was Native American. It's always in academia. And there's there's a lot more than people think that do that. There was a guy that lied and said he was Afro-Caribbean and he was just a regular black guy. So, you know, identity has some sort of power.
You know what happened, Jason? Can I tell you just a stupid story?
Yeah.
You know, my uncle, I've got there's the one uncle who, like, drinks a little too much.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, tells stories that maybe shouldn't be told.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me one Christmas that he'd been rooting around in the public records office and that he had discovered that my grandmother's forebears, my mother's mother's forebears had been Jews, and they had anglicized and become Christians to fit in Appalachia, where they're from.
Uh-huh.
And that this meant that because it was coming through my mother, you know, because coming from my mother through my grandmother, et cetera, it was through my grandmother's maternal line, that I was really Jewish, right?
Okay.
And of course, I related this to my Jewish friends in Chicago, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they just, you know, belly laughed. They were like, you're the most fucking goyish guy, right, we've ever met. Like, you are not Jewish, right? We don't care about our law. We don't care about, like, what it says in the Bible, that it passes through the mother, right? And, of course, it's true, you know, but obviously people, you know, it would be absurd for me to say something like that. Of course, I never looked into it one way or the other. But... You know, I do feel like people think that, like, we really are, like, black and white and Native American, and, like, this really tells you something essential.
Mm-hmm.
In a way that, you know, that's, like, I don't know what, even genetic.
Mm-hmm.
And it worries me how people, you know, how people, like, especially, you know, if I can say it, on the left, you lose their shit over these identity questions, you know, that are whatever, you know, the fetishes of HR departments. But sorry, you were saying, and I interrupted you.
No. I'm with you on that. And that's where it's hard to build here, because, you know, there's a barrier when it comes to identities for a lot of people and being listened to and da, 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 da. And the reason why I wanted to talk about this show, and the only person I asked, I'll be really honest. I asked two people in what we call the TIR Central Committee, and one person said, "Yikes, who are you going to have on?" And I said, "Well, I think I can do it by myself." And they said, "Ooh." And when I laid out my argument, Toussaint goes, I think you'll be okay. And again, my argument is less about the trans issue and more about the issues that revolve around, you know, couples in court that don't have monies for lawyers. Because if you've read the article, you know, it gets even deeper with the dude relinquishing his custody rights, and then the ex-wife drops the restraining order. Then he goes and tries to take the kid because there's no restraining order. And it just gets uglier and uglier and uglier. And again, no one's really losing but the kid. And there's these big questions for me. And the biggest question is, are you punishing the father? And if so, why? And is this acceptable punishment? Do we want the state involved in this level of punishment? And that,
right, that's what, to me, like, him, like, picking up on all this, like, anti-trans support.
Yeah.
You know, I just feel like, you know, man, you're not going about getting custody rights the right way. You know, but I just feel like in every other way, you know, I'm sympathetic. Of course, I'm sympathetic to the mother who's raised this child. But on the other hand, you know, I'm sympathetic to a man who, like, loses his fucking temper because he's, like, totally being denied the opportunity to be a father to his child. And it just gets taken up, you know, by the culture in a way that just seems to me largely divorced from what I expect of a genuine, you know, as I say, taking people in good faith, assuming this guy's not a lunatic and doesn't, you know, is actually, you know, couldn't care less about custody of his child, you know, assuming that's not the case, you just wonder, like, you know, on the one hand, she's, you know, potentially getting some kind of hearing, as you suggest, for these essentially extraneous reasons. You know, maybe she has been abused. You know, he's getting, you know, all the social media attention because he's becoming, you know, an anti-trans warrior. It's a sick and twisted culture that we're living in, right? And on the left, like, you know, on the left, we just, you know, like, I just feel like, you know, like, when I see this stuff on the chat, I'm like, you know, can you not let capitalist politics rule your life, you know, to some degree, you know, and just, like, be, like, a little bit calm and start from a place of, like, let's just assume that the safer than our friend, you know, like, let's assume that other people in society are, you know, let's assume that, like, parents aren't abusive. Some are, you know, but, like, that's not what's going on in most custody battles, you know. I hate to see the, it's just so manifestly demagogued, you know, it's just so manifestly demagogued in capitalist politics. You know, where they start ranting about, like, you know, trans people in sports and all of this stuff. And you just feel like, well, really, like, a certain amount of common sense should be prevailing here. Like, you know, society's really stupefying itself. Over, I don't know what.
I think
when people talk about bathrooms, and I'm like, at the end of the day, like, you're at work, you go, you know, whichever bathroom you're going to go to, like, you're getting along with your coworkers when you go to that bathroom, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what it really boils down to. It's not, you know, like, it's not about some fucking policy. You don't want to get the side eye from your coworkers, right? You want them to think, you know, that's where she's more comfortable, and that's fine with me.
Mm-hmm.
Right, like, things do resolve on, you know, in real life, in the real world, like, on a social plane, not on the level of, like, HR policy or some crazy, inevitably, you know, fruitless debate in Washington D.C. And it's essentially where our problems lie on the left.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we would have to be organizing in civil society, right? First and foremost, right? It's not, I mean, I know people are like, you know, think we can just run Sanders or run someone else for president, but just to find some quick fix, you know, just some end around, you know, actually building, you know, socialist politics from within society. But I'm really not sure. I've never been convinced. Anyway, sorry, I am going on and on now.
No. That's fine. Like I said, you're always welcome here to rant. If you have one place to rant, it's here. But thank you for your call, Spencer. Have a good night.
Yeah, have a good night.
Hey, let me know how the class went. Send me a message. Let me know how class went tomorrow. I would love to know.
Okay. I'll hit you up in the DMs. Okay. Take care.
Peace. Spencer Leonard. Professor. Marx the scholar, Spencer Leonard. We've been doing this for 3 hours. I am not Joe Rogan. I do have a video coming out where me, Pascal, and Todd Cronin and M. Toussaint made fun of Joe Rogan, but I'm not him. Take that laugh track for those that hate it. Thank you guys for participating in this show. I apologize for those watching or listening on Twitter. There's a new interface that our service that we use to stream on lets us see Twitter comments in the chat, but I cannot respond to them, sadly. But most of the chat comments that I can see come from all the platforms the show is on, from not Instagram, but Twitter, Twitch, Facebook, and of course YouTube is where most of this is going on. And I also want to send the fattest, most massive shout out to the mods. You know, you guys, if you're still there, I don't know if Toussaint is still around. It's late where she is. It's about midnight where she is. We did it. We did a call-in show on the main show with a topic that I had to make sure I protected my TIR Central Committee brethren from. And, you know, I'll say this like I say in most shows. I want to hear what you guys think. You know, some of the best comments, I will say, are on the Ben Burgess show. That's where all the philosophy nerds leave their, you know, 8-paragraph dissertations on why Ben and Stefan are idiots. But I'm sure you guys will have something to say. I will say this. Let's try not to be mean. And part of the show is we don't do the mean stuff. I don't think we're mean funny. I think we all get along pretty well here. So I'm sad that some people said that, you know, they don't like watching the show because they get yelled at or misgendered. And I can only do so much out of the corner of my eye. And again, relying on mods who are doing this out of the kindness of their heart that are coming from different parts of the world. Again, I appreciate all your help. I'm sorry if there was anything changed in chat that offended people. I hope we can apologize, move on, learn, maybe not get so heated. I don't know. I get heated too, so I can't talk. I think I've gotten calmer. If you guys have watched this show for a while, I've gotten calmer. I don't yell at people anymore. There is someone that did say something in the chat that said they called the number. They thought it was me. And they said it was the wrong number. And they said, who the hell was I talking about? About trans rights? For the... If that's true, that's the funniest shit ever. And it's probably more reason why I should pay the extra money for the 800 number. But today, can't afford it. We blew through the budget for the call-in. Sir, this is a convenience. Can you? Yeah, some guy's just calling in. He told me he's Dan from Texas. That's pretty funny. That's pretty funny. I want to end on a high note because it has been somewhat depressing, and I'm scared that there's no way to end this on a high note. Let me see if I can find something. If I can't find anything, I'm just going to fucking end it on a you know, the fact that someone said they called the wrong number. That's pretty damn funny. Let's see. I definitely sent Toussaint some stupid videos. Okay. Do you want to end on this funny man roasting kids? Or do you want to end on one of the funniest songs I've ever heard in my life? You guys have to tell me. You have 3 seconds to tell me. Okay, 8 seconds. No? Because if I have to choose, I'm going to choose the most ridiculous thing to end the show on. So do you want to end on a funny song or on a man roasting children? He's roasting the shit out of these kids. Roasting kids, you say? Oh, we got a one. We got one person funny song. One person roasting kid. You know what? Let's just do it all. Right? It's the internet. We're fucking up this late anyway. Let's just do it all. I fucked up. God damn it. Can I rewind this thing? Damn it. I can't rewind the thing. Are you kidding me? Okay, let me try it again. Okay. There is a colloquialism for shit that I grew up using. I don't know if it's one you guys used growing up, but when your kid goes to the bathroom, I was told it was called boo-boo. My grandmother would be like, "You got a boo-boo?" And so this man, I think he's some sort of like mayor or something. And he says that this house that he went into, they couldn't go in because it smelled like boo-boo. And it goes to smell like raw boo-boo. So he means shit. So here it is. Wait, can you guys see it? Okay, you guys can see it. Okay, here we go.
Raw boo-boo.
Hello? Hey, what's up, Rita? How you doing? Can I come over tonight? Can you come over tonight?
Yeah.
Nah, darling, you can't come through. The real reason you can't come through is because my house smell like boo-boo, oh, and not just any kind of boo-boo, like raw boo-boo. You ever smell raw boo-boo?
Yeah.
It's like wild-caught organic. It ain't filtered. It's not from concentrate. It's just every day. My house smell like boo-boo, raw boo-boo, yeah. That's how I feel when I smell it. When I go in and I smell that raw boo-boo, I just say, my house smell like, it smell like raw boo-boo.
They house smell like boo-boo. Raw boo-boo.
Hot messes just smell worse when it's cooking. God, I shared that on my Instagram stories, and the woman that made that song responded to me, and we had a very short conversation, and I told her, I think this is the most genius thing I've ever seen, and I wish you the greatest of luck, because this is fucking hilarious, and your vocal talent, you know, just made this song. Somebody said lightly brave. Oh. Yeah, so people watching the show for the first time, this is the kind of activities that go on in the champagne room. Usually it's me finding these ridiculous videos like this and then playing them on the show. I found that's just so funny to me. I sent a bunch of these to Toussaint. I gotta find one. This guy roasting kids is like my new favorite thing in the world, and it's been making me feel better for some reason when I'm depressed, and it probably shouldn't because it's so mean. But here, let's hold on. Oh, okay. Whew, I paused it at the right point. All right. Raw boo boo. Maybe you guys know who this dude is. I just found him recently. Maybe he's super popular and I'm late out to the party. I don't care. I think this is the funniest shit ever.
All right. This girl's the veteran of 2 foreign wars. This girl owns a muffler repair shop. This girl installed the butane regulator at the VFW. This girl kills buzzard hawks with her granddaddy's 38. This girl sleeps with a stuffed raccoon on a big pile of empty Keystone light cans. Wow, look at this Mari Provich guest. This girl huffs computer duster with her stepdad. This girl's gonna grow up to be the kind of lady who gets her dead kid's name tattooed on her cleavage. Oh. Right on, a kid from Seventh Heaven has been transported into the world of Tron. This kid is the pastor of a megachurch that worships a RoboCop. This kid is campaigning to make laser tag an Olympic sport. This kid fantasizes about defeating Satan in a rollerblading contest. Mother of God, look at this aspiring American gladiator. This girl's gonna legally change her name to Zap. This girl does cartwheels on her way to the soup kitchen. This girl had multiple hand-to-hand combat kills in the 1968 Tet Offensive. This girl writes love letters to Chuck Norris. Alright, this girl's the veteran of 2 foreign wars.
Oh my god.
This girl owns a...
Oh my god, this man is so fucking mean. Oh, but it's so funny. Raw boo boo! Too funny, dude. Okay, last one.
Wow. He who makes a beast of himself gets rid of the pain of being a man. This kid looks like he's recovering from a 3-day horse tranquilizer binge. This kid looks like he was just revived from drowning in the bathtub. This kid looks like he's being forced at gunpoint to eat his dog. This kid looks like he was just hit by a bus after seeing his dad naked. Holy dog shit, it's the dictator of Turbekistan. This girl is gonna kill Arnold Schwarzenegger with a sword after he tries to steal her amulet. This girl looks like she's getting ready to die in the Battle of Thermopylae. This girl is in charge of conducting enhanced interrogation at Guantanamo Bay. This girl is going to ransack her school cafeteria with a brigade of war elephants. This girl is going to feed Indiana Jones' heart to her pet snow leopard. Wow, he who makes a beast of himself gets rid of the...
Okay, that was just enough meanness. God damn, that guy is funny. Okay, thank you guys for hanging out. car wheels on the way to the soup kitchen. I figured that the patrons of the show would really appreciate that because you guys are the ones that spend a lot of time roasting this shit out of me. This is why this drop is on the show. It's because of you guys.
We coming for you, nigga!
That's how I feel every time I get behind this desk. Take a deep breath. Play the intro music and then get ready for the insults. But yeah, that dude was pretty fucking funny. He's got a bunch more. And I've been that asshole that's just been sending him to my friends. But the Raw Boo Boo song is like, it's stuck in my head. The house smells like boo boo. Raw boo boo. But Raw Boo Boo is my new favorite thing. All right. Thank you, guys. I'll be back tomorrow night with Mac. We're going to do a Red Zone. Don't know how long it's going to be because I'm pooped. And the show will be pre-recorded because I have to do it earlier in the day because our guest cannot make the regular stream time. We're going to do, we're going to talk about the Pakistan elections and the Pakistan left. And that'll be Thursday, then Pascal and Toussaint and maybe someone else will be talking about why Black people are trending Republican in this upcoming election. I'm taking off Thursday to go see family. So I'll be back Tuesday, and then we have movie night next Friday. Already confirmed with Jeremy, and this is going to be a Toussaint goodie. Oh, wow, somebody said fuck them Broncos. What a fucked up thing to say. Jesus Christ. See, that's what I mean. When I sit down in the chair, it's...
We coming for you, nigga!
Every time. Every time. Yeah, movie night. We're going to watch Fresh Dressed, which is a documentary that Toussaint goes, I didn't really like it. I don't think it went too far. I don't think it went far enough. I'm sorry. So she's going to be doing the pause it in the documentary. And giving us context. So I'm really excited for that. So she gets to be in charge since she actually worked in hip hop fashion. So I'm going to get out of here before you guys start talking about my mother. Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And oh, I'm trying to do two movie nights this month because we didn't do one last month. So. Maybe we'll watch American Fiction. I don't know. I kind of don't want to watch it because I watched it and fucked that movie. And then I saw that, was it Breonna Joy episode where she tried to bring Bert and them guys on to do some PMC washing of that shitty ass movie. So thank you guys. And I am appreciative of you guys. For your calls, for your super chats, for your support. But seriously, this song is called Nighttime for Phoenix. And it's probably nighttime for a lot of you. So good night.